Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. At the Vatican, the conclave of cardinals is underway. This is the process by which the next pope will be elected, and the pressure is on.
They know, yes, they are guided by the Holy Spirit, but they are human beings, and it is possible to make a mistake.
ABC News contributor John Davis. The cardinals also have a new rule for this conclave. In addition to no TV news, they've been told that they can't. If it happens to Michelle Obama, it The U.S. Secret Service now says it is actually investigating the information that claims to be Michelle Obama's social security number, loan payments, and credit card history. The online information includes her known street address in Hyde Park, Chicago, but the White House will not comment on whether the financial information is real. The FBI is also investigating. The FBI director's alleged personal information is also on a website.
What? $10 a week. Go fuck some wild. Okay.
Okay.
You got your high school credit card.
Right.
Well, today, $8
So, no one cares.
Go to SuperPig.org for more of your ideas. This message brought to you by the
Watch your morning cup of coffee to come with the latest worldwide national news. Tune to News Talk 600 WFON every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. The latest news when you need it. And Youngstown's best talk, News Talk 600 WFON. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial. A little bit of Earth, Wind, and Fire Saturday night. If you don't remember that song, it's okay because that means you ain't past 25. Because, see, I'm a little past 25. I couldn't help it. But anyway, good afternoon, everybody. We are here on the air, and a lone stranger is in the house today, and we're going to get underway right now. Want to know what you're thinking about and talking about? We're going to talk about how to get along. How one person gets along with another. It's called, what's it called, Lone Stranger?
Oh.
In our relationship? We got a call already, and I don't understand.
It's going to be a good day. Hey, listen, take them back to break. Put some music in. Let us get settled down. Sorry I'm late, because it's going to take a minute, because we need to sit in, because we got folks calling in, coming in, and everybody's running
late. I see that. I'm wondering. I'm up there saying you done created a monster
situation. Yeah, we got a monster
show
going on.
Just hold on.
I got all
it's
kinds
be
of
a
people
monster
listening
show.
In.
Oh, it's going to be
yeah,
a monster show.
Yeah, y'all. See, you can tell it's going to get crazy
so, yeah,
up in here,
it's
y'all.
It's going to be nuts. So we need to settle in. Sorry we're running late, but we had some meetings this morning, and I just couldn't get here.
No. This is how you all are. You just treat me like a red-headed stepchild.
I know.
And
I
it's
know.
Okay. It's okay, because I love you anyway.
Yeah,
you know,
in the house.
I forgive
we're
you.
We're here.
I forgive you. But, you know, we're going to play a little bit of Earth, Wind, and Fire for you. We'll be right back. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. WSLM 600 AM.
Do it what you feel. Can't just be unreal.
Depend on your computer, then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassetech.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Boardman Frame House Gallery. A professional.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Hey, wow. I'm here, yes. I'm here, I'm sitting down, and Larry Long is here, and
I haven't seen him in about 20 years, you know.
You know, that's because you're old. And just want you guys to know, today is going to be a special day. You know, Jeff usually starts the show, and I come in about an hour and a half later. But today, I'm here, and Dr. Rossi, who is a psychologist, I believe, and he's going to call in at the bottom of the hour. And we're going to talk about women. We're going to talk about women in the workplace, women in relationships, And then at 1:30, there's a film, and it's a film short. And so for those of you who do not know what a film short is, it's somebody that's trying to get into the film business. And they go out and they produce a small 30-minute, 40-minute film. And I was supposed to send it to Larry, and I forgot last night. Larry, I'm so sorry. And the short is about, it's called The Takeover. And it's a conversation between a white woman and a black woman who are very, very good friends about how easy and how hard these two women have at dating. And the person who wrote and directed it is going to come on. Some of the cast members are going to come on. And we're going to have this discussion. And I'm going to ask everyone to please stay within the context of the conversation. Please do not go outside of the parameters of the conversation. I don't want to hear about going back to Africa. I don't want to hear about white supremacy. Because we have some serious issues in our society, not just in the black community, but in our society at large when it comes to dating, mating, and finding a mate. It is true. And we are getting divorced at alarming rates. We're finding out that we can't get along. Things are not working out in our family. Children are being raised by single-parent homes or in blended families because of bad dating habits and because of misinformation, bad information. I've got some girls coming in. I've got a white Jackie's going to come back in who is a white female who dates black men. We've got some people calling in. They date white men, black men. We're going to talk about this. We're going to get into some real serious issues with this. So we're going to ask everyone to please, help us out here. So Larry and Jeff, y'all got anything to say? And don't start with the multiple personalities and stuff because we won't be good today.
Hey, we are still outnumbered. We're not going to say a thing.
Hi, South Carolina.
I'm not going to mention the multi personalities either. So
thank you, Sal.
All
right. Hey, who's that with you?
Nobody's with me.
Oh, because I hear some background noise, and I don't know who that is. And everyone else
is
muted.
I'm just trying to get something to eat, that's all.
Those of you who are listening in, if you want to talk to us, please push the number 1, and it will notify me that you want to talk. So, Larry, you got some people listening in. You want to say hello to some people?
Tyra Kremling. Tyra and I go back 20-some years. No, Tyra's a Kent State alum. I think she's listening at work in Cleveland. So she'll hopefully Tyra gets a chance to call in. I sent her the number. I know my wife's listening because she was very interested, Tracy, when we talked yesterday about the topic.
Uh-huh.
So she may call in. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I got people listening from Richmond, Virginia.
Larry, you've been married how long?
6 years.
Okay, you've been married 6 years. Jeff, you've been married how long?
28 years.
Jeff, we don't even let you talk. You don't even know what it is to go on a date.
Oh, I sure do. I see people date all the time.
Jeff.
What?
Seeing people date.
I'm trying to tell you, it is very eye-opening. Yes, it is.
Seeing people date and actually going out and trying to find a date.
I ain't never went out and tried to find a date.
But you know
so
what I'm saying.
I don't know nothing about
what
that.
What do you mean you never went out and tried to find a date?
I never went out to go try to find a date. I never had to.
I don't understand.
You don't understand. I do.
Jeff, I understand. And I hate you brothers like that. I hated y'all.
Hey, man. Hey, years ago, I was light-skinned with a big fro. And I was a musician. I ain't never had no way.
But now hold on. Now I got a question for you.
Now, I had to
hold on. Hold on. Because there's a difference. See, I think we're saying something different. And when I say, there were a lot of women that were trying to throw stuff at you. But the question is, how many were you answering? Because there's a difference.
What do you mean?
You know, if you're a musician, you may not have to work as hard, but everything that comes your way is not necessarily what you call filet mignon.
No, I mean, but that's not the point. That's not the point.
Well, it is the point.
No, it ain't the point.
What is it the point?
It's just that if you
because
have more.
It's a God thing, Tracy. Trust me. That ain't the point.
Yeah.
I mean, you might have spent time with everybody, but initially looking for substantial relationships, everything that came at you didn't go with you.
Now, you talking about looking for substantial relationships.
Well, that's dating. See, there's dating. There's dating.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's something to do. There's a difference.
Well, there's a huge difference.
And there's a lot of something to do.
Until I got married, I never intended to be married.
I agree with that.
I understand that.
Yeah.
There was nothing happening. I wasn't looking for it because I didn't think I saw any real marriages that were anything exciting that I wanted to be part of. So I just was on the side, you know, hanging out on the side of things. That's neither here nor there, you know. But here what I can say is this. Dating is an art form. And the problem with today's dating is women have no idea how to act. And because they don't know how to act and they're more or less looking very hungry out here, they're not getting attention because ain't nobody looking for nobody that's hungry.
Larry?
I agree with what Jeff said earlier as far as I never intended to be married. Now, again, I have to preface, I've been married 6 years almost, but this is my second marriage, you know. This was the one that I'm married to now that I dated in high school. And it's probably better that we married later in life because we wouldn't have made it.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I wasn't looking, I mean, back in high school, I can remember my mother, she was dead set against us locking down and being with one girl our entire thing just because she always stressed to us that high school was not just a stepping stone. It wasn't the end game. You know what I mean? That we were going off to college. So I dated a lot. And there was not I can't go back and say I had this girlfriend other than the woman that I'm married to now. I had girls that I liked. There was girls that were friends. I went to dances with, you know what I mean? But I never really got locked down, per se, to use the vernacular. Like my nephew, he's on lockdown right now. He got a girl, and that's his girl, and that's all they do. I mean, but, you know, later in life, I guess like Jeff was saying, he wasn't looking to be married, but and I wasn't looking to be married. I mean, it was a one-time deal with me, and that's how it was. And I was single for several years before my current wife and I got hooked up back together, and you know, I never looked at race as a thing. For me, it was more, and my current wife, we're like, we finish each other's. I mean, it's crazy, and it may sound cliche, but we finish each other's sentences. We think the same. I remember the one time I turned the TV when the Steelers were on. I know you're a Browns fan, but I'll use the Steelers thing. But I turned the TV, and she yelled at me for turning the TV, and I was like, ooh, okay, this is real, you know what I mean? So we share the same interests, we share, we communicate.
But you had to get there. I mean, you saw each other after all these years,
mm-hmm.
and you have this, you know, you guys just got together and said, let's get together, go out. And you said, this is something different. But the question is, all during that time, that was not the only person that you went out with.
Correct.
So were you guys just doing something, having something to do all the time, waiting for something to come along because you weren't looking for anything? Because what happens with women is it's totally different.
Okay.
A lot of us, we're always going looking for the mate or waiting for the mate.
Okay.
Waiting for the person that's going to – and I'm quite sure all the women between your first wife and your second wife, quite a few of them thought they were going to be the next Mrs. Larry Long.
Okay, I could see that point, and I guess with our, my wife Jennifer, and hopefully she's listening now. It was different because we had talked about being married when we were 16. You know, we had this all planned. I was going to be a doctor. She was going to be the nurse, and we was going to do all this. So then when we reconnected, it was something totally different because I think I told you the story. We dated. She broke up with me basically because she was driving a half hour. I didn't have a car, didn't own a car. Then the next summer I broke up with her because I was leaving for the Naval Academy. You know what I mean? And every time in our relationship, everything just didn't click. And it did this time to where we were both single. We were both the physical attraction was obviously there. But it was the
– And you both had a car.
Yeah, we both had a car. Yeah. But no, it was just the right time, right place. And it clicks. And like I said, this is the one that I should have married back then. But it probably is better because we, when I say we're both the same, we're both hard-headed, both very stubborn.
Exactly.
You know
what
I mean?
I'm saying? I'm talking about between A and between B because, remember, we're talking about dating today.
Right. Dating. So, yeah.
So the dating process is different from the marrying process.
Right, exactly.
And my objective today is to find out the difference between black women and white women.
Okay.
Do white women have it better than black women?
In the dating.
In the dating or in just the whole circle of life. Because 45% of all African-American women have never been married. Whereas their white counterparts is somewhere around 23%.
Okay.
And so when you look at that, when a white woman becomes divorced, she is more apt to be able to get remarried than an African-American woman.
That's not necessarily so.
It is by statistics.
By statistics.
By what statistics? Because you have 1,000,001 white women out there, and you have
based on per capita. Because one, the pool for African-American women is limited because a lot of them stay within the circumference of African-American men.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas where white women, a lot of times will reach out to other nationalities more so than black women. That may have something to do with it. It may have something to do with the education.
Okay.
You know, because African American women don't think that they should be dating down. So when you look at an African American woman dating and she won't date a bus driver because she's got her degree. You know, you got to understand, you know, African-American males are in jail, a lot of them.
Why is that, Tracy?
Why is what?
Why is that? Because a man will date, a black man will date a woman if she doesn't have the status that he has. But sisters will not do that. Why do they do that?
Because what I said on yesterday, I said that a lot of African-American men won't get off the bus. They drive a bus. But they won't get off the bus. And when I say
but
that, I'm talking
wrong with the bus.
No, listen to what I'm saying. I'm talking about their conversation as well as their perspective. It fades into a bus mentality.
Okay.
And it's kind of hard for you to be a professional woman who is out in the world networking within a system, and you have a husband who can't talk about anything except for what's on the bus.
Well, doesn't that kind of thing for a man?
No.
Sounds like to me you got a double standard there, Tracy.
There is a double standard, but it is true. A woman can stand there, smile, and be pretty, but a man has to have a conversation.
No, they don't.
Yes, it is.
No, they don't. You have to be able to put up with whatever you're going to get.
Huh?
Yes. See, that's the whole thing. You're the one that's requiring him to be able to do X, Y, and Z. And the thing is if he's not X, Y, and Z, then he's just not that. But if he's the bus cat, he ain't getting off the bus. That's who he is.
No, that's not who he is.
It is who he is.
No, that's not who he is.
Oh.
That means a woman is nothing but a mother.
No, it doesn't mean that.
No one wants anyone who is not going to be able to hold a conversation. And I don't want to go into a discord, but you got to understand from a woman's point of view, I want to have somebody who will talk about more than what's going on the bus. If I have gone outside of the bus, I'll give you a great example. I have a young lady who's a friend of mine who is single, and she's very, very successful. And after her husband passed away, she wants to go out and start dating again.
Right.
And because of her status, she was having a very hard time. So she dated someone who was a professional, but in the profession, he didn't read a newspaper.
Uh-huh.
He wore an orange suit. He didn't have a conversation. So when she would go to a business meeting or a board meeting or somewhere and she wanted to take him with her, he couldn't go because he had no conversation outside of going bowling and his job. And his job was not one that would mingle inside of her environment, which caused her problems.
I can see that, but I'll use here one where it's non-race relation. It's not race. My father-in-law, great guy, worked at the steel mill, raised five kids, did everything he was supposed to. They go down, they're snowbirds. They go down with my mother-in-law's cousin, down to the Key West, and he came back early, and that was one of the things because the other male down there is like that. He was very wealthy, independently wealthy, and versed in everything, and that's just not my father-in-law's thing. You know what I mean? He's pretty much, he likes to stay at the house. He's got a property downstate. He just likes to go down there and be in the wilderness. So he didn't feel comfortable. That's why he came back early, because I kept telling him, I mean, it's still cold up here. We still got snow. You may want to stay another month or two. But he came back early. So I hear what you're saying. And I come here today, Tracy, because I'm going to listen more than I talk.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to listen more than I talk because I'd like to know.
Because women think that, and we are different. You know, they say African-American women are angry. Is that true?
I'd say that's all women.
Oh.
Yeah, so I don't know, Jeff. For me,
if they're not angry, they sure play well. They sure play it on TV.
Wait a minute. They sure play it in real life, too.
In real life, too. I mean, it's...
Man, come on. Go ahead.
There is a difference. I think Tracy said it, they're different. And I don't think it's a black woman thing or it's black. They're different. They think... My wife and I, we're a lot alike
right,
in a lot of aspects.
Right, right.
But she'll look at a situation and read it totally different than I. And it was different for me, Jeff. I grew up, there was three boys in the house,
mm-hmm.
one girl, but she was a lot younger. And then, you know, I've always been around the males. And so when I got married, my wife had two girls into a previous relationship, her marriage. So it was totally different. Now I've got three girls in the house, and I had to relearn everything as far as I didn't know. I remember, like, when a little girl becomes a woman, you know, my oldest stepdaughter, she – is always real happy-go-lucky, and one day she snapped on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to my wife, I said, what's going on with Gabby? And she said, well, she's a woman now. And it comes. So I learned.
She went to woman school.
I'm coachable.
Yeah.
When the second one, when her monthly visitor came, when she snapped at me, I was like, oh, okay, is Zoe, you know what I mean? She's Zoe become a woman. So it's a learning process. But then women, I shouldn't say all women, but a lot of times, they want us to understand them, but they're not hearing what – try to understand them, I guess.
No.
The male looks at it
different
than a female.
And see, that's true. And
right.
So my question is, when it comes to, you know, even when we date, we go into things differently.
Right.
I mean, a woman will go out and get pregnant and think she can hold on to a man. It may be true. It may be not true. But you have
to. No, you can't.
But we're not talking about what you can do. We're talking about what we do.
Reality.
We're not talking,
reality.
We're talking about what you should do.
Yeah,
we're talking about what we do.
Well, we know
we
that.
Walk into, we have our own, we put our own, you know, epiphany and our own psychosis into a relationship. And you'd be like, what are you talking about? We're different. So if you think we're different in marriage, what do you think we're different in dating?
Yes, a lot of that has to do with your life.
My question is, you know, when we talk about this, and I got Dr. Bart Rossi with me, and I'm going to pull him up in just a second, and we're going to bring him into the conversation. Those of you who are sitting on the line, hold on, and we'll be with you in just a second, because we only have him for about 15 minutes.
Wow.
Dr. Rossi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
We're doing well, and he's out of New Jersey. He's a psychologist out of New Jersey.
Okay.
Excellent.
And he deals with women.
God bless you. God bless
him. Lord, help him. Lord, help him.
And I brought him in here because we're dealing with women today, and I wanted to. We have a perspective here, but I wanted to talk about women in relationship and in family. I wanted to go there for a few moments because the woman of 1950 and June Cleaver and the woman of 2013, they're two different women.
Mm-hmm.
And so
very
Doc,
different.
Tell us how we can cope with this because I don't think we understand how to cohabitate in this new environment that we're in.
Well, I think women today are confronted with women in the workplace. You know, it's women at home, and you brought that up, obviously, but that's one factor, but it's also directly associated with the fact that women today need to work in most cases. They need to be productive. They want to be productive, and they want to be independently successful in many cases. So, very different scenario than it was 50 or 60 years ago. So I think women today are confronted with what happens in the workplace. You know, what about their role? It is true, I think, that there are problems there. There are still men who are chauvinistic. We still have a political climate, as we saw in the last election, during the election cycle, where comments about women were taken in a certain way. I think that there are a lot of issues today with women who are trying to make it, trying to be providers for the family, and being able to be successful on one hand outside the family, but also successful as a mother and a wife is a real challenge.
So what do we do now? Because when we're in the dating process, and now most families are blended. Very, very few times you walk into a relationship where you're not walking in with somebody not bringing some extra children in, unless you're marrying very young.
Well, that's true, and I think that the focus today has to be on whether or not you think that you're going to be able to be compatible with this person, and that brings in, of course, all of the psychology that I like to talk about, which is pretty much: are we talking about someone who you feel you're going to be compatible with because you're attracted to them, you feel that they're a good match for you in terms of how they appear to you? Probably more important is whether or not you think the same way, or you think in a similar manner, so that you can actually get along and have a successful relationship. So I think the psychology and how people think is very important when it comes to looking at the relationship.
Before you came up, I was talking, and I was telling them, we were talking about dating, and we're talking about we were talking about African American women and them not necessarily wanting to date people or date men who were not on the same professional status as they are, based upon, you know, just conversation and things in common. And, you know, my colleague here, he's saying, well, no, you don't have to do all that, and I'm saying, yeah,
no.
You do.
No, you don't.
Because I need to have a conversation on a scale. I mean, it should be a cerebral conversation every now and then, more than, you know, I can't like classical and you like rap and think we're going to have a good time with the two of us together in the same house on an ongoing matter if one drives me nuts and the other one drives you crazy.
Doctor, may I submit something here? Then wouldn't that mean that just because you like the package doesn't mean you're going to change the contents?
No, I think that you're making a good point, but I just think that at the end of the day, people need to have some type of intellectual commonality. There needs to be some common denominators, and I think women who are successful, I have a lot of black friends of mine and women who are successful, I think that they really want to be looking at people who they can relate to intellectually, and they don't want to be in a situation where they're just having a relationship with a man just to have the relationship because he might be someone who appears to be, you know, okay. They want more than that. And I think that's part of the makeup of the world today and why it is different. As the onset of my segment here, it's the difference between 50 and 60 years ago. Women want more. They want somebody who's compatible intellectually and also someone who they can be attracted to physically.
Well, I just look at, I mean, like, are we the intellectual part? Because I know a lot of intellectual people that don't have a college degree.
We're not talking about college. We're talking about mindset. We're not talking about the occupation.
Okay, the occupation.
It's not the occupation, because the conversation came up, and I said they don't get off the bus.
Okay.
What I'm saying is it's okay for you to drive a bus, but you got to come off the bus so that we can have a conversation about what's going on in the world. If you're... You know, it would be very, very difficult if you wanted to sit down and have a beer every night and do this every evening, and I don't drink beer and I don't like going to bars.
Trace,
that's very – you would think, because after a while, you're going to want me to go with you and I'm not going to want to go.
And this goes to the crux of what I was saying. If you like a package, okay, and they're not responding, guess what? That's not your package. When I dated, if I saw a package I like, ooh, I love it. But if we start talking and they can't add one plus two, then
Move on.
But,
see ya.
What I'm listening, and we were talking about women, African American women who have a hard time.
Well,
so, Doc, I want you to jump in because when I brought up the statistics, today's conversation, when you get off the air, we're going to be talking about the difference between black women and white women. Because statistics clearly show that white women have it a little bit easier in finding relationships than black women.
Well, I think black women who are successful have let's put it this way, a bigger challenge perhaps, because they know that they've made it. They know that they're independent. Some of them are independently wealthy or independent on their own, making enough money to support themselves, of course. And now they don't really want to be with someone who is less than who they are, at least intellectually. That's most important. And it does. And again, it doesn't have to be the college thing. It has to be someone who is good in their thinking, perhaps progressive and open-minded, and someone who is going to be thinking along the same lines. And I think that when it comes to black women, there's a smaller pool of people perhaps to look at, and that presents a problem, a challenge.
But Doc, let me ask this, though. Just I asked Tracy about it. This is South Carolina, by the way. isn't that presenting a double standard? The woman is putting a standard out there that she's not necessarily willing to live up to herself. She'll find someone that makes a lot more money than she does and moves in different circles than she does. So that kind of presents a double standard. And I don't know too many men that are going to be able to deal with that kind of thing.
Well, I think these are all the problems that exist now that the women are more independent. I think you're right about that. There probably is a double standard, and there's probably standards that are problematic for women who are white and black, and how you handle those. You know, where are those common denominators? You know, what are the factors that are going to make a difference? And I think that for a lot of black women who are successful, I think they really a lot of them I know really do not want to compromise very much. They want someone who they believe in terms of having some really solid intellectual challenges. And they like that. They like to be with somebody who's intellectually alive. And I think that's very important today.
You know, I guess the way I'm going to approach this on African-American women, if a little girl wants to know how to treat a woman, how a woman should be treated,
mm-hmm.
normally they get that first from their father.
Ah.
And without and let's be real, in the African American community, Tracy,
it's limited,
right? So I think that's a part of the problem. I mean, you can't just say African American women are different than white women without taking a look at the father in the household, I guess. I've heard that said to me. I wish I had come up with that phrase myself, but somebody said that to me, and it kind of, you know, put that light on in my head that a little girl, and it was really a friend of mine. He had two beautiful daughters, and they both married guys that the family liked. And I asked him, because my daughter was a baby at that time. I said, "Well, how did you make sure to that? I mean, did you clean the shotgun when they brought these guys over?" And he said, "No. When she turned 16, that he gave her permission that each daughter to go out and date, but he took them out on their first date." Wined and dined them, treated them like royalty and, everything. And at the end of that date, he said, "You have my permission to date now, but if the guy does not treat you exactly like I treated you tonight, then I don't want to meet him," is what he told him. And they had various boyfriends before they married their spouse, but every one of the guys that she brought back to meet her dad, he was a good guy from the dad's standpoint. So I think that would be...
It makes a difference.
It makes a difference.
It's input.
Yeah, and maybe that's the why you have the gap in the percentages that you quoted earlier.
Dr. Rossi?
I'm the political psychologist. I don't think I could frame it out any better. I think that was just an excellent point and extremely well presented. I think that is a major factor and probably the root of some of the differences. Yes, I think that was excellent. And I think father fathers are just an overwhelming major factor for young women growing up, and a lack of is really an enormous issue.
So how, in your opinion, Dr. Rossi, how do we as a community begin to try to find relationships? Because if we don't go, if we don't change some things, we're going to have more single family. It's cyclical, and we're going to continue this hamster wheel to where I won't have a man in the house. I'll be raising a man and a woman in the house because I've had children by someone along the line who I didn't get along with, and he may or may not be in the family. And if he's not there, he's still not taking my daughter out on that date. Nor is he teaching my young man how to be a man.
Yeah. Well,
million dollar question. They told me you were a psychiatrist and you had it together and you knew everything and you could answer.
Well, I don't know. Well, I think you guys are talking about it in a pretty good way. I really think we're tending now to go into more of a societal issue where we're talking about the importance of a male figure in the family, having a real father and a real
Absolutely.
Mother and a family structure. And I think the way it's just been presented is excellent. I think that's what we need to work on. And I think what's happening, though, is that women who are successful and black have kind of made up for their problematic youth or made issues that they've had. They've made it. They understand the importance of being treated the right way or treated by a man in a certain manner that they really respect and like. Somehow they've gotten the message, and they don't want anybody that's less than that. So that puts them in a certain category that makes it harder in some respects. And they've gone through this. They've learned on their own, perhaps, as they've made it. So it is more challenging for the black woman who is successful, but they've made it, and they know what they want, and they know what the issues are. And they've overcome maybe the lack of a father figure, and they've dealt with that, and they psychologically have become more emotionally stable, and they know what
right.
they want. Yeah, so that's what, I think those are the factors.
So now
but,
it comes
know.
To they're alone. That's there goes yeah. to our
yeah.
conversation of the day. They end up, you know, alone. They end up settling for just someone to have there, but not someone who's actually coming to the table and partnering with them, because the majority of African-American women do not date outside their race.
That's true. And I think that there's two problems. One that we've just identified is the father, the importance of a father in the family, but the other is, you know, a woman trying to find the right person and the settling issue. Settling for someone just because you want to have a relationship often is really a bad way to go. It just doesn't seem to work well in the long run whether you're a white woman or a black woman, especially a black woman probably, where you're going to settle for someone who looks pretty good, but in the long run is not going to work out. And I think we see a lot of that. We see that a lot of that with white and black women today. They're really desperate to have a relationship, and that desperate approach is really not a good way to go.
They're reaching out to touch someone's hand. That's what I was saying, period, that there's no way that you really can't change people, and it is a very dangerous and wrong thing to think that you're going to change a man, because you're not going to change him. He may adapt some things to come out and be with you when he sees that maybe he has been too closed or too something. But you're not going to change him overall.
To make it work is too hard. It's going to be too hard to make it work, but women think that they can get past that, and most times they don't.
Right.
And that's what I was saying, Jeff, about getting off the bus. The reason why a lot of us are alone is because the men never come off of the bus.
I understand what you're saying right now. And I'll give you an example of what me coming off that bus. I don't watch a whole lot of TV, you know what I mean? But my wife enjoys some of the shows, the reality shows, quote-unquote reality. So I started watching some of them with her to try to understand what was the attraction for her, and I kind of liked it, you know, some of them. Not all of them, some of them. But that was something that, you know, coming outside the box, I guess, you what
gotta,
you're saying.
What I'm saying is you have to come, I mean, it's kind of hard if I'm a reader and I work in a very, very highly professional environment. And you're talking about you're sitting on, say if I'm sitting on a board of American Express, and you're traveling with your colleagues, and your spouse has no idea about anything outside of going fishing and you know,
right,
riding their job, and you can't stand there and babysit him all night at your social event. It'd be nice, but when we go out, it's just more than him and I. But you do want to go somewhere and have someone on your arm that can go on their own.
But the thing is he's just not the one.
Jeff, we're not talking about just the one. We're talking about a good population of a lot of men out there that are single, especially if you're going into your second marriage.
Mm-hmm.
They're working on a line at General Motors. They're making a good wage. They're a good guy, nice guy. They go bowling on Tuesday. They go to dinner. But socializing, not a part of their record. They don't do that.
Mm. And marriage is hard. I wish I could sit here and tell you today that everything is peaches and cream with Jen and I. But it's not. But we work. And I guess it's wild because I watch her daughters to her previous marriage. He was an absentee father. He thought that being a dad was just an ATM machine, right? That was it. He brought home the check.
Right.
That was it. So Jen took them on vacations and different things like that. So now then when they see us have our disagreements, they both kind of get a little upset about it because they've never seen that. But our disagreement, I mean, we love real hard, but we butt heads real hard too. But at the end of the day, I didn't have that in my first one. And that's why I was divorced.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It didn't work.
It didn't work. By just not having that. I mean, we didn't talk.
But you look at people when they get divorced, and Doc, I want you to jump in because it's like a double dutch here. But I want you, I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know, wow, look at how many single friends I have that are not dating. And when, you know, it's bad. It's tough out there. And, you know, yes, sir?
I think it's just hard. I think it's hard to find someone who you can relate to emotionally and intellectually. The more successful you are, you almost pay a price if you're becoming more and more successful. And you want someone who's open-minded, who is going to be thinking about all of the issues, not just one-sided. Somebody who's got all the answers or thinks that he's the big cheese in the family because he just brings home the check. You know, the more successful you are, it brings in more issues, and the pool of possible individuals for you to choose from is shrinking. And you know, when you talk about second marriages and third marriages, they don't work out as well as first marriages. The stats are not good. So what I'm seeing is people are really not looking at probably what the most important factor is. And that is taking a look at the overall psychology, the intellect, and the personality of the individual that you're going to be looking at. If you don't go down that road and really take a good look, and you can't really get along with someone very well, there's a problem, and I don't think it's going to be resolved. I agree with you. It's not going to be solved when you get married.
Mm-mm. Never.
No. But I've seen it.
Yes, Al.
I mean, what if you've got that issue with someone that's intellectually on your level? They're also financially on your level, but they're just a butt.
Well, then they shouldn't have been there in the first place. You know, they just need to get kicked. But they're out there. Don't get me wrong. I met some. They got some horses for toots out there, and it's like, dude, you need to go start again. And it's okay. But, let me say this from a single woman who's out there, who is a Republican, who's African-American, who narrows down the cesspool as she goes further in her list of who she is. It is not easy out there. It's hard for people who are just every day. But when you start identifying, you know, all these little nuances of your life that you have, you just go out there. No, you don't. And actually just finding someone to sit down and have a conversation with that can give you some intellect thought for a dinner. Have a cup of coffee.
first of all, there has to be a lot of spring cleaning going on in because of the dysfunction of our society right now. We have women who are reproducers that come with a whole lot of reproduced baggage, and they are putting extreme calls or extreme demands on men, even when the men haven't even committed. And that is one of the things that is hindering.
What do you mean extreme demands? What kind of demands?
You're demanding some things of this man.
Like what?
Well, one, that he know what you know. First of all,
he got to know something.
Well, he does know something. He knows the bus.
No,
not willing to talk about the bus. You're saying he got to come off that bus. I got to do this, and I'm saying that's representing
but
what I'm saying.
Listen to what I'm saying, and Doc, come and help me out here. If you go out to dinner, I think I told you I went out with a guy and met him for coffee, and he got extremely boisterous and loud and obnoxious inside of a restaurant when I was in. And I got high. My face broke out. I had never seen anything like that in my life. Woo! Had to go. I'm like, whoa, dude, something's wrong here. You are special. Now, you might have it. I'm going back to South Carolina. He might have had a good job. He might have been an intellect, but he still didn't bring anything to the table. If you can't get through coffee, you can't get through dinner.
Duh.
No, you're not going to get. No, but
and
what I think you're
limited.
Bringing up, though, what I see you guys bringing up, though, is the fact that people have different sides to their personality. We all have different sides, many different sides. And we're never going to be perfect. No one has all sides that are good. Nobody does. But if you see a particular side, like with this individual, who obviously gets boisterous and out of control pretty quickly, that's a leading indicator, of course, that this is not going to work. This is not going to be a relationship. But I think you need to have enough sides that work for you in someone's personality, or at least a number of good features that are going to make a relationship work. And you can't look at a date as someone who's unidimensional, you know, someone who has a great personality, period. It's probably not true. People have all different aspects to their personality, and we have to analyze that and take a look at that and be real. And I think a lot of women do not do that. They try to make someone into a person that they're probably not.
And I agree with that. And I agree with that. The problem is they try to make you into something that they don't want because what they want is limited in what they find.
Who are you talking about now?
I'm just talking about just women in general, because what's happening is women have this little checklist. They want them to look like this, dress like this, go here, do this.
That's the demand.
Hold on. But now, when you just come, you ought to have at least two of the six on the list. And it's got to be more than money and good looks.
Yeah.
And just because
you
make a living and you look good in a suit,
yeah.
You got to have more than that. And what happens is I end up settling for the two on the list, thinking I can live with it. And when I get into a relationship with this person, I find out that they're shallow and I can't deal. And so I either put demands on him thinking he's going to change, or I put less demands on him and I'm miserable. But whatever happens, it doesn't come to a healthy outcome in the end. And that goes into my second and third marriage. Am I wrong, Doc?
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think that it's a tough call, and my suggestion is to look at the different sides that people present, and if you see someone who's intellectually alive and challenging, I think that's a great thing. But money and good looks by itself are not gonna win the day. If someone's gonna be belligerent or nasty or has a streak in them that's really not a good one. That relationship's not going to work out in the long run, and I don't think a lot of women think like that. I think they think they can make it work, and that usually, you know, ends up into another disaster.
Doc, give us your website and a little bit about you before I let you go.
Yeah, my website is really easy. It's brossi.us, brossi.us, and I do have a couple good articles on there, one on winning personality. I might be good for this conversation. And what is a winning campaign? I'm a political psychologist that likes to look at all sides of the issues and also the personalities of those people on the political stage, usually the candidates. And today, of course, you know, Boehner versus Obama and whatever. So
what did you come up between the Boehner and Obama? Because that's that you mean talk about a personality disorder.
I think first off, in 2008 and in the recent election cycle, I probably did, I don't know how many TV shows and radio shows, but usually at the end I was asked who was going to win, and I was right, you know, on two election cycles, like hundreds of shows, I said I know who's going to win because I know who has a winning personality, and I knew that Obama would probably edge out Hillary even 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, and I think that Obama does come across with a winning personality because he's a good listener. I think if you met him, he would be a good listener. I think he never discards anybody. I think he's consistent in his own skin. I think he's comfortable being himself. And he has the traits that are part of a winning personality. And the other guy in this election cycle did not have those four traits. You know, he wasn't consistent. He wasn't comfortable being himself. I don't think he's a good listener. And he discarded, last I remember, 47%. So I think that's a losing personality. So I think the personality factors are key. I mean, it's interesting that we're talking about that right now because I think those personality traits are important in who you choose when you're going out on a date, too. You know, you want someone who is going to be pretty consistent and certainly a good listener. But, you know, with Boehner, just to answer the point there, I think that Boehner is really, he looks like a person in conflict. I mean, psychologists like to talk about conflict. And he looks like someone who's got the Tea Party on his back, and he doesn't exactly know how to handle those folks. And he looks like he's in conflict. I mean, he cries at the drop of a hat. He's got a tan. He looks like he's somewhere between white and black. I'm not sure what he is, but he is a very unusual person in some respects. I think he probably would be coming across a lot better if he didn't have a faction of his party that was just being very, very difficult to him and for the whole party.
Let me ask you this, and then I'm really going to let you go because we will change the subject here, and it will only take a moment. Do you believe that when you look at the political arena, because when you said personality, and this is my biggest issue, people are ignorant enough to vote on a personality and not on a platform and a policy. Because what's happening is we are becoming personality-driven because of celebrity, and we're not becoming policy and platform-driven. And what's happening is we don't understand the difference between the two when we go to vote because warm and fuzzies don't always get the job done.
Well, I disagree. Okay, I think you're making a great point, but I disagree a little bit with this because when I talk about personality, I do not talk about likability. The traits and the characteristics that I just mentioned in a winning personality or in a winning campaign are not just whether you like somebody or not, but whether that person does project that he's really comfortable being who he is, what he's all about, is he a good listener. You never discard anyone if you're in a political campaign. If you have those traits, you're well on your way to being a winner. But the issues of the day are important because I think the issues of the day bring out the candidate's personality and how they relate, for example, to women, how they relate to the immigration issue, or what about gays in America, or what about where society is going today and where you are as a person vis-a-vis your personality. Those, when you put all of that together, it's certainly not looking at whether you just like somebody because he's kind of cool. That's not it. I'm talking about personality and how people really feel and sense about a candidate.
But my question
I think that's the winner at the end of the day.
Most people have never read the platform, and they don't understand that it's really the platform that drives the policy and drives the country. It's not the personality. The personality is just the figurehead of that platform. And when we
I think the personality comes across. I mean, when you talk about platform, you have to talk about the issues of the day. If there's social issues, of course, whether it's women or gays or you know, immigration or climate, all of those issues are part of someone's personality makeup.
Larry?
I understand where he's coming from. I mean, there's what should happen and what reality is. And let's be honest, Obama versus McCain, I mean, he wins that
hands down. And Romney also.
And Romney also. Yeah. And I was a big Romney fan.
Yeah.
Before,
absolutely.
Yeah, so I understand where he's saying. How do you change that, though? Because we voted, and everybody likes to beat up on GW, but, you know, the big thing was there, who'd you most like to have a beer with? You know what I mean? When he was running.
Yeah.
So
right.
How do you change that? Because everybody's beating up on Bush, but, I mean, right now the things aren't looking any better, actually probably a little worse under Obama. So how do you change that the mindset of voting for that guy that you think that is the most likely one that you'd have a beer with or want to have a beer with, or
cause you want to,
or you trust that he's going to listen to you, or he empathizes,
yeah.
He feels your pain. Because
I actually think that my suggestion, because I think you're going down this road, is my suggestion for the GOP or for a good candidate in the Republican Party is to change the views on the social issues. I mean, let's moderate. Let's be more realistic. I mean, when you have these Murdochs and these Todd Akins out there, they're killing the party. You've got to moderate on social issues and talk about and throw your personality. Throw who you are around things that are important, like the role of government. What is the role of government? When is too much too much? What is enough? Where do we get a balanced budget? How do we do that? All of those factors are Republican issues that could be presented very well, and they were not presented well at all. And no one wrapped their personality around it and presented it in a way that was what I would call a winning personality. Did not happen.
Dr. Rossi, can I ask you a question? Will you come back and have a political discussion with us? Because if we stay here too long, it will change the whole course of the day. I promise
okay,
you, but you have to say that you will come back and have a serious political discussion with us.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it. Take
Thank
care,
you.
Guys.
Listen, I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. We'll be right back.
Will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Now, when liberals use the Bible and Christianity to advance their progressive ends, well, the mainstream media agrees with them. For them, it's just, oh, yeah, I agree with that. When a conservative uses the Bible and Christianity to advance a conservative point, they hyperventilate the media. They're warning of a coming theocracy in America.
This is the Valley's home for Sean Hannity. This is News Talk 600.
Fit family. Unique. Individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. The father of one of six Warren youngsters killed when an SUV flipped into a pond says the group was coming home from an overnight stay at a friend's house. He says a 19-year-old woman who knew the teenagers offered them a ride home. Only two of the eight people inside the sport utility vehicle survived the crash Sunday morning. Police say no one in the group had permission to take the vehicle. They say the SUV was speeding when it hit a guardrail. Mahoning County authorities have charged a man with trying to burn down the house he shared with a woman he had been fighting with. 68-year-old James Cummings is suspected of aggravated arson and domestic violence. and the case against the alleged trigger man charged in Ohio with killing three men by luring them with Craigslist job offers has gone to the jury. A judge in Akron turned the case against 53-year-old Richard Beasley over to the jurors late yesterday. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
If you own or operate a small to medium-sized business in our area, you'll want to listen to this message. On March 19th and 20th, News Talk 600 will be holding special and free branding workshops. The workshop is being held at Bruno's on Route 224 in Poland and is designed for business owners who want to make their advertising more effective. Plus, you'll have a chance to win a $500 gas card. To reserve your free seat, call Maria Fez at 330-783-1000.
Hi, I'm Joan London, and if you're worried about your parent or a loved one living alone like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. With one phone call, you'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. It's a free service, so call now.
Call now, 800-460-3580, 800-460-3580.
It's that time of year again to start thinking about those lawnmower tune-ups. And Cannon's Lawn and Garden's new location in Hermitage is ready for all your outdoor power equipment needs. Cannon's has a large supply of parts, including air filters, spark plugs, oil filters, belts, and blades for all makes and models. Cannon's also carries a full line of new Echo equipment, including trimmers, chainsaws, and two-cycle oil at great prices. Cannon's can also make you any size chainsaw chain while you wait. Cannon's great sharpening team can also sharpen all your dull cutting equipment from lawnmower blades to hedge clippers, including chainsaw chains. If there's any piece of equipment you can't bring in, Cannon's offers fast pickup and delivery. That's Cannon's Lawn and Garden at 5300 Virginia Road in Hermitage, PA, right next to the Hermitage City Garage. Phone 330-448-4222 for parts or service.
Chances are your furnace isn't going to quit working between 8 and 5 on a weekday. Ainsley Heating and Cooling knows you shouldn't pay more when your furnace breaks after 5 p.m. or on a weekend. At Ainsley Heating and Cooling, we don't charge you any unnecessary fees. No overtime, no diagnostic, and no trip charges. That's right, same price, day or night. Weekends, too. Call Ainsley Heating and Cooling now, 330-637-1911, or ainsleyhtg.com.
Everyone faces challenges.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM. Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends.
Need broadband, mobility, or nationwide voice for your small business?
We will. Wait a minute, hold on. We got to come back on. Get that mic. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And we're talking about dating, and we had a guy on, Dr. Bart Rossi. Rossi, I want to thank him for coming in and hanging out with us. And, you know, he does political stuff, but he does a lot with women and the demographics and the psychology of women. I want to thank him for coming on. He's out of New Jersey, and you can find his website, and you can go and hang out with them. But we've got some ladies coming on within about 15, 20 minutes, and it's really going to get hot and heavy and heated in here, and we're going to disagree.
Probably.
Because I'm still trying to – Jeff's still talking about get out and go around. And
no, I'm not saying get out and go around.
Dude,
I am not saying that.
My question is, because you pigeonhole yourself into your environment, because remember – you're like an old, you know, what they call an old dog trying to change his spots.
Let me say this. If you are on level 5 it does not pay you to be sitting down in places where level one people are at.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, no, it ain't what you're saying.
What I'm telling you is,
when you went around that thing, you gave me level one and two.
Listen, but what I'm telling you is the pool of people on level five, and when we let's exclude the gay men, let's exclude the married men, and let's exclude the dogs, because you got some out there who are, you know, they stay single and they are professional daters, and all they do is do. They might as well be an escort. They just like gigolos. We can start naming them off. So what I'm saying is, when you break that down.
Mm-hmm.
And let's take the demographic out from 35 and beyond.
Okay.
Then you have narrowed your selection greatly for black women who have narrowed themselves into dating only black men.
Well, here's the thing. Once again, the whole thing is, if you believe in it, if you're going to go in this strictly secularly, that's going to be one thing. If you're going to go into it on a Christian basis, that's another thing. Don't forget that marriages in ancient times were not somebody found somebody to be with. Your mom and daddy gave you away, and you learned how to get with it. So the thing is, I think that there's too much postulating out here about who's this and what level this is, and you don't really – Miles Monroe said, you're so busy trying to find somebody that you never become somebody to give yourself to when they find you.
But see, you're saying the same thing I'm saying, and hold on.
No.
But listen, what I'm saying is women are becoming what they want and not finding anyone, because as they continue to mature themselves, and to refine themselves, and to reach out around their surroundings, they are assimilating into a world that actually marginalizes a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say? Are you following where I'm coming from?
I'm following where you're coming from. I wish I could have got my sister on
Tracy.
Hold on,
Stanley.
Because I mean, she's a fine African American woman, got advanced degrees, and she's some of the same things that you're saying. I hear from her.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm
not saying everything that I'm talking about is not necessarily about me, but I have girlfriends who are my age, who are 45 and above, who are single.
Saying the same thing.
And we're all having a male conversation about the same exact things. And what's happening is the ones and twos you tell me not to talk about, there aren't in enough five, six, and sevens to actually have coffee with, because they're either gay, married, or out. They've gone somewhere else.
Or that dog you was talking about.
Or the dog out there. You know who the dogs are. You go take him on a date, and you know what's going on with that. Dude, you're a dog. You need to go get something. Hold on, Diva. Go ahead,
Tracy.
Stanley.
The problem with what I'm hearing, first of all, hello. The problem with what I'm hearing from you, Tracy, is it's not because you're number five or you're self-sufficient that means that you're a great woman. So many women, you think that just because you're a high degree, you're a lawyer, you're a doctor, whatever degree that you have, that doesn't mean you're a great woman. You're great in your career. You're great in that. But a lot of women, you forget to become women. I would question many of your friends. I'm sure many of your friends, I would sit down with them and they'd tell you, oh, I'm a great woman.
Stanley, you're way off base.
I'm not way off base.
Birds of a feather flock together. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is there are some great women out there, and there's tons of them from the age of 35 on who have their stuff together mentally, physically, financially, and they have stability. The problem is we have left men behind, and we need to find out why we think white women have it better.
White women do have it better.
Why?
Because they have a little few more people to choose from.
Why?
I wouldn't say that's the case. From my experience, from what I've seen, white women don't limit themselves to just white men, and they don't necessarily make the list that black women make. I have plenty of friends and cousins who look at me and tell me there is no way I could ever date outside my race. They roll their eyes when me and my boyfriend come around, and they just can't understand it. But I've also known that when I was just trying to find a good black man, I was never able to go on a decent date. I was never able to find when they were either in jail or they were taken or they were gay. But when I broadened my horizons and I stopped saying that I'm going to limit myself to just black men, I'll date white men, Chinese men, Hispanic men, I was never dateless. So when you limit yourself and put yourself in a box, and when white women put themselves in a box to just trying to find a white man, or just if they're only date black men or only date a certain type of man, they will find themselves in the same dating situation.
Larry?
Open your horizons, open your eyes, and you won't find that it's not that difficult to find a date. Dating itself is difficult, but finding someone to go on a date with or spend time with is not difficult.
This is Dave, right?
Right.
I found something that she and I can actually agree on. And
I agree with her.
Dave, I agree with you on the sense, and I'll put it, I always tie it into something that I do. I'm in sales. And by you just limiting into African-American males to date, right?
Right.
It would be like me just calling on, because you have A, B, and C clients. A, B, that,
right.
that large one. B
right.
would be the mid-range. And
right.
C, little.
Right.
If I only concentrated on one, let's say I'm a big game hunting on the A, right? I may hit one, but the opportunities to get that A, my paycheck may reflect because I get paid straight on what I sell, not how many hours I put in. So those are harder closes than this B and C account. So I try to do big game hunting, one or two calls a month,
right?
And concentrating in that middle because there's a lot of mid-range companies, and then also go on to those small ones. So, I mean, that's maybe a bad analogy because you don't want to date. There's certain things. Let's be honest, physically you got to be attracted to that
but
person.
But you have to understand that white men don't pursue black women like black men pursue white women. You have to understand.
Crap.
Hold on, Diva. Let me finish. They don't not – now, they may be changing. It's evolving. But it is not where they. It is as open as it used to. Because it's very, very closed. You don't see it.
Mm.
You see more white black men with white women than you do white men with black women.
That's changed. I'll submit that that was rarity back when you and I, because we're close to the same age. But I see it totally different.
But you're seeing it differently now.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Not. But still, it's still not as popular.
Once again,
then maybe the for your age group. For your peer group that you're running with, Tracy, maybe you guys got to get with like Diva at this stage and not limit your pool of potential dates out there. That's what
that goes back. Hold up, Diva. We're going to do this. Totally
I'm actually agreeing
today.
With Diva. I like her this time.
I agree with Diva and Stanley as well.
I agree. But what I'm saying is, and what I'm trying to bring out is, what's happening is, as we're all evolving with this,
mm-hmm.
then they say that, remember, this is about the differences between black and white women. Do black women have angry woman syndrome?
Absolutely.
Yes they do.
I don't think black women necessarily.
When we say that, we're not saying that every single one black woman in the world has that syndrome, but overall, there's a tendency. Just like there's a tendency for Caucasian people in America to be racist, there's a tendency for African American women to be angry women,
and to be combative.
Very, very, very combative and very confrontational with their men, and for a particular reason, it's they were taught that, and it never left.
Exactly.
I would say no. I would say it came out of our environment. We're tired. Black
no.
women are tired. We give of ourselves to men. We give of ourselves to men 110% more than they give to us. And then we tend to hear,
what?
Black women don't step outside of their boundaries, so then they keep coming across the same type of man, And then all of a sudden they start getting angry. Should they be angry at every man? No, they shouldn't. But should there not? Should there be a lack of understanding and just label them as angry black women? No, there shouldn't be.
Because you're not black women, so you'll never understand
where we're coming from. Someone can tell you or try to explain it to you, but because you've never experienced what we've experienced, you'll never get it.
Hold it. The number's 347-945-5229. Because we got about five more minutes before our guests start calling in and coming back in. But because I got to go back to this. Not all black women are angry.
No.
But a whole lot of them are labeled as angry just because they're black.
No, then a whole lot of them are labeled as angry because they are.
And
that is just a natural fact. I hate to tell you this, Tracy, but the thing is black women.
What is called angry? Let's define this.
Confrontational.
Is it because we don't just say okay?
No, it's because you were taught by the slave master how to talk to your man and smack him upside the head if he ain't doing what you want him to do, and you have taken that spirit on.
That don't make no sense. And you stepping outside the
boundaries.
Hold on, I'm going to navigate this.
You don't have nothing to say.
Hold on, I'm going to navigate this before because I want to ask Larry, because Larry does it all.
I've been fortunate to be around a bunch of strong black women.
Okay.
And my mother is Caucasian, but I have aunts all over the country, and all of them are strong. And my sister's a strong black woman. You know what I mean?
Now, is it strong or is it angry?
No, angry, not angry. I would say maybe disappointed, and sometimes as far as their situation.
Sure.
But I wouldn't say. I mean, I one of these times I can't say that. I haven't. I hate labeling anybody. The angry black male or woman.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's just like saying every Republican is a racist.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Because that's not true. Are there racist Republicans? Absolutely. Just like the racist Democrats. There's angry white women. My wife could be classified as that. Maybe last night she was. You know what I mean? So. I guess when you're dating, and since we're talking to dating, I won't relate it to marriage, but dating, I would say, is just as hard, and it actually gets harder in marriage. It's harder in marriage than
dating.
It is.
Absolutely.
Because you have to sacrifice, once you say I do, then you're done, and you make that sacrifice sometimes on some of the things that, you may butt heads with, but I wouldn't label, because like I said, I've been around strong black women. My Aunt Tilly from Wellsville. Strongest black woman I know.
My family was full.
So,
yeah.
But a lot of times, you even hear white men say that black women are angry.
That is the perception because that's all they see on TV or hear about. But do they know them? Because I wouldn't label Condoleezza Rice. We was just talking about her. She's not an angry black woman.
No. And like I was saying.
Hold on. Why is she not an angry black woman?
Because you don't see that. I've never seen her be angry. You know what I mean? She's very articulate, talks. It's just like the angry black male. If you're in a situation and that's all you see is that, the African in our inner cities, hell, in a small little town like East Liverpool, you see the kids walking around with their pants down around their butt, showing their underwear and stuff like that. That's not how it's supposed to be. You know what I mean? So I've unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I've never been around an angry black female myself. All the black women in my life were strong African-American women.
Stanley, if you keep on butting in, I will mute you. You know that.
I just want to make a point. The thing that we're saying that they're angry is because a lot of black women don't want to say things with respect to a man. They're basically trying to bully the man and put him down, and basically it's my way or the highway. And we don't want to hear that. You could make a point as a black woman to a man with respect. That's where you forget a lot of women forget. You do it without respect.
That's every woman there. That's not a black woman. That's every woman.
Yeah, I don't know because I never had the experience
about that. They want to say what they want to say, but they forget to say it with respect. You could sit down with any man and say, you know what? I didn't agree with you with this. There's a way to say things to a man. But if you come with you chatting and trying to put him down and take and work and basically attack his manhood?
Well, no, see, that's personal. I mean, because see, not all women are that way. Listen, I've got to take my break. I've got to take my break. Family, you're muted.
A lot of your friends will never tell that.
I've got to take a break. When I come back, we're going to have our guests. We're going to have the cast and the director and writer of The Takeover. And it's a movie about African American, or it's a movie about women, a black woman and a white woman, and one thinking that they have it better than the other. And I'm going to let her give you a little bit more of the description of it. I'm going to see if I can do some outtakes of it, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. We'll see you on the other side of our break.
Fit family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. The full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com. Or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And in studio with me, I have Larry Long and Jeff Green, Jackie DeGutis.
Hey.
And I'm Tracy Winbush. And Jackie and Larry have been co-hosts of mine, and Jeff is still here with me. He hasn't abandoned me like those other two.
Oh. No, she didn't.
And so I know I'm an angry black woman.
Yeah. Put y'all on Front Street.
But I'm not, you got to do what you got to do.
You are the consummate angry black woman.
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
The movie short is called The Takeover. And Shakita, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You are the writer and director of this movie, am I correct?
Yes.
And she has, and one of your cast members with us, her name is?
Yes, Christy.
Christy. And
Christy
this was a great, great film about two women sitting in a coffee house, and they've been best friends, talking about men. And women sit down together, and Jackie is a white female who dates black men. Larry is a black female.
Or black male.
A black male.
Yeah.
Well, I don't just exclusively date black men, but you know that's okay. Okay.
Larry is a black male with a white mom who's interracial, who is married to a white woman. Jeff is an African-American male who's married to a black woman forever. And then I'm single out there in the wind trying to figure it out. And I'm very angry. I'm highly disgusted, absolutely, because I don't understand why men are so limited. And if African Americans stepped up to the plate, so would white men. But that's another issue for another day. But I brought them on because I thought this film was so intriguing, because we really do believe that white women have it better as African American women. And I need to know, is there a difference? And then I want to know, you know, I like the outcome of the movie. And if you want to give the website out to the people so they can actually see the short online, Shakita, and I'm going to paste it in my chat room so that people can actually watch it. And tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to this movie.
Okay. The website is thetakeoverfilm.com. How I came about this movie is pretty much I live in Los Angeles. I have for the past 9 years. It's very, like you say, limited. It's almost non-existent out here for black men and black women when the dating situation is it's really, really difficult. There's a lot of color-struck men out here who only like white women or any other woman but a black woman, and you see that walking around. A lot of the men ignore you. And I come from North Carolina, so it's way different there where the men actually approach you and ask you on dates. So to come here, it's a completely different different place and a different view on things. So me and my friend decided to do online dating a couple months back. And so I put on a little profile and got up on there and started, like, looking at guys. And almost every guy's page that I went to had some kind of disclaimer that said, I only like Asian women, I only like Hispanic women. And I was just like, okay, I have to get off of here because I feel discriminated against by black men. So I got offline, and then a couple weeks later, we went to a little lounge in Hollywood, and we were sitting there just kind of people watching at this point, and it was a lot of black men and black women were the majority of the people that were there. And the guys weren't paying the females any attention. Nobody was talking. And so these three girls came in that looked like the Kardashians, and the guys started surrounding them like they do Ashley in the movie. So they started surrounding these girls, and my friend was just looking like, what in the world? And so I just figured, like, I should write something about this and kind of, like, put it out there because this is happening.
And so you got some friends of yours, or somehow you found some actresses.
Yes.
And you guys came up with this film.
Yes.
Christy?
Yes, I'm here.
Now, you're up in Los Angeles also.
I am.
You are one of the actors of the film, but tell me, did you buy into the actual script because it was real to you, or did you say this is not real?
No, I mean, absolutely, I believe it to be real. I mean, you know, I am a black woman. So, I mean, there are just going to be times. Like, it's interesting because I've been getting a lot of emails from friends and people in the industry, people who live in D.C., people not in the industry. And a lot of people will say, and I've gotten recently, is that, yeah, I love the film, but I find it very hard to believe that a man would not be interested in you. And I think it's funny because, yeah, of course I do find that. It doesn't really affect me just because, you know, it just means that, you know, for me, I'm just like, hey, you know, there's more out there. There's 3 billion men in this world. I'm sure I can find someone, you know, who fits with me. But I think it's interesting that people would automatically think because, I mean, skin color became a part of the conversation. Oh, because you're light skinned, you know, you're pretty. No, you know, guys are always going to want to be a part and want to date you. And that's not always necessarily true. You know, I do get a lot of guys that, you know, who are like, yeah, I don't date black women.
Now, do you find
it now? Like, hey.
Mm-hmm. Because you're out in Los Angeles, LA is it's a melting pot. So
yes.
are white men approaching you?
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, I get so many Jewish guys, and I mean, yeah. I mean, you name it, they come up to me. And so, it's funny because I have
there was a talk show that I was that I did with four other women, and so they told me, hey, you know, we should make this a part of the, you know, this whole thing that we're doing and have you go on online dating. And so I did it for about 2 months, and it was funny to see majority of the guys that hit me up were white men, or just white men, period. So as opposed to the black men, I didn't have a lot of black men that approached me who wanted to date me or anything like that online. So it's just, you know, it's an interesting world, and I think, you know, as we continue to keep growing, we got to realize that we got to step out of the box and, you know, we're going to have to date outside. And not because we have to. If you have a preference, you have a preference, but we shouldn't be closed down to that, you know, another race.
I mean, I always think there's somebody for everybody, you know.
I agree.
In your dating world, everyone has their own preferences, you know. So I don't think you should limit yourself to just, you know, what your own race is.
And I think
so it's just about preferences, but I feel your point. I know there's times when I'm around some of my girlfriends and some of their friends, male black friends, and there's a few friends of mine that are black males that would say, you know, I would never date a white woman. And, you know, and it's not, like, I would never feel offended by that, but it's just a feeling that you get, like, ugh, like, well, what's wrong with me? You know, and it's not that I have very, you know, high self-esteem. It wouldn't bother me, you know. I wouldn't want to date you either, but it's just a point, you know. When you make that statement, it does bring something about, you know, it brings up a feeling like, well, you know, you make someone feel like they're not good enough. Mm-hmm. So I can see a point there, but...
This is Christy Ferris speaking. One of the great things that I love about what Chiquita wrote in the film is here is this woman who sees this man. She automatically assumes that he would not want to date her, being a black woman. He's a Becky lover, what we call the Becky lover in the film. And what I like about it is that here, you know, she made these assumptions already with her own issues, her own self-esteem issues as far as black men and dating and all of that. But in the end, she realizes, wow, I made an assumption and I was wrong. He actually is interested in me. And that's what I loved about the piece, that we all have these assumptions. The white girl thinks that, oh, you know, the black woman has it better. The black woman thinks the white person has it better. The white woman has it better. He wouldn't be interested. She would be interested. And that, I think, is what the message that I got of it and why I wanted to be a part of this film is because I think it hits everybody's point of view.
But
can I hear
something, though?
Yes, South Carolina, go ahead.
You know, yeah, you're asking, you're getting everybody's perspective except the male perspective. I mean, I'm kind of sitting here.
I'm coming to South Carolina. That's why I got men. That's why I let y'all in today.
Well, did I hear her right, though, that she said she has no problems with white men coming and stepping to her, correct?
Right.
Right. But she doesn't want to date.
No. Black men don't. Black men who, see, when we, a little bit earlier, guys, we were talking about levels of black men. You know, we'll discount the 1-2s. But the 3-4-5, the 3s are straight in the middle. And the 4 and 5, they're non-existent. Either they want a white girl, they're married, or they're gay, or they're just a dog.
I'm just going to, because I'll get approached by...
We were saying levels, and we were talking about in between the ages of 35 and over,
mm-hmm.
the men, African-American men, they're married,
mm-hmm.
they're gay, mm-hmm. they're incarcerated, or they don't even show up on the radar screen at all, just based on their intellect, where they're going in life. You know, they're not going anywhere. They're not doing anything. They're just existing. So you've got in between there, you've got to be able to find someone who might be interested in an African American female, and they're slim and none. And you said L.A. I lived in Los Angeles. You're so right about there, but it's across the globe.
Well, I'm curious to see if there are any men that are listening right now. Just so you know, I am single. You can hit me up on Twitter Oh, let me jump in there, Christy, too.
And I want to see there's some men out there. I want to see there's some men out there that, you know, who go against the stereotype. So I will be checking my Twitter while we are on this phone call.
Actually, Tracy, I got several black men that's actually been writing me. Actually, on our YouTube page, the demographics for who's been watching our movie has been 80% men and only 20% women, which I found very interesting.
Wow.
So a lot of black men have been writing me, telling me how the movie has opened their eyes. They didn't know it was that hard out there for us. And a lot of, I mean, I was just like, yes, it's hard out here for us. Like, y'all don't talk to us for the most part. But, yeah, I'm glad it's opening your eyes. Huh?
We are afraid to. Of course. We don't want to get our ears chopped off.
Chop your ears off.
There we go.
What do you mean, South Carolina?
There is so much stuff that comes along with you guys that we don't want to deal with it. I mean,
garbage. You know what, really, South Carolina? That is so much garbage right there.
South Carolina, what comes along with African-American women that you don't want to deal with?
Okay, because it's disingenuous. I've been sitting back, I've been listening, okay? And this young lady saying that, oh, my gosh, I wish I had a man to date. And see, now, for me, years ago, I was not what you would call being, quote-unquote, popular. I was dark skinned, I had short hair, muscular build, and I was in the military, okay?
South Carolina, we're talking about. Hold on, Brad.
I'm looking at this young lady, South Carolina,
I'm going to do you like I do my old folks now. We're not talking about 1972.
Don't matter.
I know we're not talking about 1972. No. But Tracy, I'm looking at this young lady on the screen that's playing the title role here, and I have met women like this in L.A. that would not give me this time of day.
But South Carolina, they were the wrong women. That's the thing. You don't just stop at that one.
And
there's like 100 million women out there.
You can't stereotype every single person because I'm completely opposite. My whole entire family, you know, they're chocolate. They're chocolate people. So to me, growing up, that was beauty. That was, you know, that was what I was attracted to. I was attracted to somebody who looked like my brother. And, you know, my dad's side is completely different. But I just never grew up in that, you know, I see a nice chocolate brother and I'm like, hey, you know. Do we fit the same mindset? Do we have the same goals? Do we have the same way of getting there? Do we have the same interests? Are we spiritual, you know, the connection?
But you women don't get back to that until way after us men have gone on. That's when you all realize, hey, yes, you do.
Obviously, you have some. Nope. You have some the baggage of you know the things that happened to you as well. So I think everybody's dealing with some, you know, this miscommunication that's going on. You know, you have your feelings the way that women back then treated you, which is why you feel like I would never date.
I've got four daughters, okay? So I know how the drama runs with women. I have four older sisters, so I experienced it when I was a kid. I've seen it, and trust me, there are some issues that black men don't want to deal with, and you all don't want to deal with them yourself. You just want to go out and do what you do and pretty much blame us for everything that's happening to you.
No.
Color has nothing to do with it. Color has nothing to do with it.
No, it doesn't. Yes, guys, it does.
No.
No, wait a minute. Hold on.
Not you, maybe.
Not with you. But let me say this. There's a lot of African-American women that go through a cycle of who they're going to date, of what color of a chocolate hue.
Absolutely.
That they're going to deal with. Because at one time, Larry would have been fine.
Yep.
And then next week, Jeff would have been in.
Jeff was in with a big pro, based on,
you know, I like light skin and I like dark skinned men. If you got curly hair and if you don't have hair at all.
But it's your preference. It's your own personal preference.
But see, some things were based on societal imaging.
Because
at one time, black was not in.
Huge.
Black women were not in, and neither were black men. As a matter of fact, you will find more dark skinned people incarcerated.
Marketing right now is Beyonce. Okay? What Beyonce
is. So Carmel and Big Booty is right. But if you fit outside that parameter,
but if you're dark, it's right.
Dark, you know, the darker the
better. That goes back to slavery. I mean,
absolutely.
Inside the house and inside the field. And in South Carolina, you know this. I'm from North Carolina, so I know how the dark skin, light skin, and you got good hair and curly hair and all this. Those are all issues that the black community has that we still haven't dealt with. So, I mean, this whole relationship thing is just, for me, it's just an extension of that, where it's like white is right and black is bad. And that's what society makes us think. When you look in the magazines, all you see is the white beauty. I remember the Oscars a couple weeks ago. Every white actress that went onto the little red carpet, she was beautiful. She was beautiful. That's all I heard was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So I watched the BET Awards. I don't hear that.
No.
I don't hear that. They just say little snide comments about the black chick here or whoever, whatever. So I'm like, we don't do that to each other. We're not princesses. No. We're not beautiful. We don't talk to each other like
there.
That.
Because we don't treat each other like that. We don't tell each other that they're beautiful. Our men don't tell us that we're gorgeous.
Don't say, you say maybe
excuse
the most
me,
of us. Say, here's the thing. Let me get to this real quick because I got to go pick up an angry black woman and bring them back here, okay? But here, check this out. Just like you said, that goes back to slavery. What South Carolina and I experienced is that a lot of times, African-American women are very aggressive or very, I should say, nasty toward their black men inside a relationship. Not necessarily when you're getting to know, but when you get inside the relationship, you get very combative sometimes, and you think that the way to get the man to move. Listen.
I'm sorry.
That we think that the way to get that man to move is to holler at him just like the slave master hollered at him and degrade him sort of verbally and have an attitude of, you better get this done. It's like that. And men don't respond to that. In fact, they rebel against that.
Only black men.
Hold on.
Hold on. Then I think Jennifer, hopefully she's listening. Then Jennifer's
an angry black woman. Absolutely.
Because my wife's white, Jeff, and that's why I said,
once again,
not an angry black woman. I think, and I'd get me in trouble with the women in here, but I think all women are the same.
Let me prove
in
my
that
point.
Aspect.
How black men will be treated.
I think all women have attitudes, and all women are gold diggers. So
I'm saying that facetiously. I mean, my wife is Caucasian, but based on what Jeff just said, then she's black, and she's an angry black woman because that's her too.
Hold on, wait a minute, if you have to understand, in the movie, it actually brings out at the end.
Uh-huh.
The grass is always greener on the other side. So you think. So this issue is, and what we're saying is, you say all women are that way. Jeff says all black women are that way.
No, I'm not saying that.
No, you're saying but black women can be that way.
I'm saying that just like generally throughout society, that white people have a tendency to be racist even when they don't mean to be racist. I'm saying that women, mostly black women, but all women have a tendency to treat a black man a certain way because.
And what I'm saying is I don't believe that it actually narrows down to the race and the culture of the people. I think
it is
across the board, depending on the person. And I think we have pigeonholed it into being angry black women based upon our perception in media or our experiences.
Black men will be treated by all women in America, not all, but, you know, most of them in a certain way because it was the culture of America for them to be talked down to.
And,
the,
you, know, and you don't think black women,
is,
you don't think black women are treated this way either?
Oh, absolutely.
You don't think black women are treated with this down and disregard and ignored?
And then treated like we're not nothing?
Say that again.
Well, then we're even. So we're even then. I mean, black women are treated the same way.
No. I'm sorry. We're not even. Because
what
I'm going to tell you one
hold
thing.
Hold on, wait a minute. Hold on, South Carolina. Hold on.
Black men get treated worse than black women is what you're saying.
What I'm saying is that is very, very true because I'm going to tell you one thing. Women have half the money, and all of what men have, what men want. Okay, so therefore they use that to get the other half of the money, and they also use that as a means of control. They use it as a means of control. If a woman wants, and you know this is true, if a woman wants a man to do something for her, one of the things that she can do is withhold her affection from him and really screw his head up.
But listen,
the only problem is, it backfired.
Say that again, girls.
I said, we got some special powers that I missed out on because I don't know how to mess with no man's mind to get him to do everything I want him to do, because if I did, I would have a black man. I would have several black men up in L.A. right now.
And
but
get
we,
all his money.
And get all his money.
Yes.
Hey. Look,
if I had
special
powers.
Look. What'd you say?
I said, if I had some powers, I'd have everything.
Hold on. Now, girls, we do have it.
Sure do.
The problem is we have given all of our power away, and I'm not talking about individuals, but collectively, because we give out the nookie without the cookie.
Well, yeah, that's women all together.
And that's just the modern society. And because we've done that, it's so free.
Yeah,
that
is.
We've given all of our power away. So now men no longer have to buy the cow or the yard. They just go out and milk any cow they want, which makes a difference.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
and I have to say,
I
was also very lucky too that when I first moved to LA, being an actress and you know booking the TV shows, I met Steve Harvey like my first couple of months that I moved to LA, and he pulled me to the side. This is Christy Ferris talking. He pulled me to the side and he said, "Let me tell you about this business. I can tell that you're special and that you love the Lord. You feel the Lord. Let me tell you." And he basically broke it down. He was like, "Look. Don't go around here. Don't be the fresh meat. You get all these people that are, you know, interested in you. You are the fresh meat at this moment. Don't get caught up in the casting couch and all that." And he
absolutely
set me straight from the very beginning. So I never had to deal with that type of energy. And, I mean, I met everybody, especially like when, you know, Steve Harvey was on Moesha, Jamie Foxx shows, like, you know, Chris Rock had just came out with a show. So I'm meeting all these people, but they all have respect for me because I learned by Steve not to fall into those traps at a very, very young age when I first moved to L.A. and I was young. You know?
And out
so,
there, and out there it is. I mean, you have to realize what she just said. As large as Los Angeles is as small as we are here in that industry, and you will become a meat market. But then when it comes down to really finding someone of substance that you are a companion, it's highly difficult because we have cheapened ourselves to a point to where, you know, it's just, you know, Kim Kardashian, a 72-hour marriage.
Yeah, well,
think about L.A., I think L.A. is just a land of make-believe. I mean, people come out here to pretend to be somebody else for their job. So it becomes like it's a fictional town that doesn't really have a lot of soul about it. Like when I go home to North Carolina, it's just a completely different place where people talk to each other. There's Southern hospitality. You know, there's history there. When I go to Louisiana, New Orleans, there's history there. People are grounded. Out here, everybody's floating in the air. Like, they try to follow their dreams. So it's hard to find something solid and real out here. So that's another issue that we have to deal with out here while following our dreams.
Listen, hold on just a second. I have a question for you ladies. I guess you're in both of you are in the industry. What's your next project? Because how long do we have you here? Do you have to go?
I probably have about 15 minutes.
Okay, because I got to take my top of the hour break. But I do want to know, where are you going with this? What's your next film?
My next film, I'm looking for investors for a project that I have called Rock the Mic. I have Tiana Taylor and Romeo Miller attached to it. It's a hip-hop project. It's kind of like in a high school film with battle rap. And it talks about the females in the rap game or whatever. We haven't had a movie like that before, so it's kind of fun, and
okay.
I'm just looking for investors for that right now.
And how long have you been in the industry, and what's your background?
I've been out here for 9 years. My background is marketing and sales. So, like, I work my day job. I do sales for a Fortune 500 company.
Well, I have to say this. I am very, very impressed with the level of work that you did, and I know that you were probably on a budget.
Yes.
But
I paid for this.
You paid for this all by yourself?
Yes.
I have to say I'm very, very proud of the project that you actually came up with. Your product is very, very well polished, and I'm very, very impressed with it, with the content as well as with the cinematography. That's hard to do. And you want to give a shout-out, because I'm going to take a break, and you want to give a shout-out to those people that are in your cast?
Yeah. Well, Chris is here with me. Lindsay had an audition, so she wasn't able to get on to the call. My DP, Cha Yu Chin, I mean, he was great. And that's why the movie looks the way it does. And his first AC, Mayan, Natasha, my producer, Dixon, she has a show tonight, a one-woman show called Evolution of a Love Addict. That's going tonight. Evolution of a Love Addict. And then my producer, Tiffany, is in L.A. tonight. And my other producer, Tiffany Corliss, is out there listening, I'm sure.
Now, listen, I'm going to take a break. I want you guys to hold on. I'll open up the mic so you guys can talk inside the chat room while I'm gone.
Okay.
Stanley, please be nice and don't talk over everybody because I'm going to let your mic loose. And now, listen, I have one prerequisite. When you become Tyler Perry, tell me you'll come back to my little radio show. And won't miss
Absolutely.
That's all I ask.
Absolutely.
Ain't nothing changed. I've been the same person forever. Ain't nothing changed. We'll be
I know,
back.
That's right.
I should have had.
What'd you say?
I should have had Buddy on here. He lives in L.A. and he's single.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Hook up.
Hey, hook it
There's
up.
A hook up right there.
Buddy Lewis, he's a comedian. His most recent, he wrote for that.
Buddy, I know Buddy.
You know Buddy? Yeah, Buddy's a good friend of mine. We had him on here right after the election. That was special.
Didn't I just tell you that as big as Los Angeles is as small as the studio is?
Oh.
I'll be right back. Tracy and friends here at WSOM AM 600.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking,
Hello?
South Carolina?
It's
South Carolina.
Here.
All right, so we're on break.
Beautiful.
I have a question for the filmmaker.
Okay.
My name is Diva. I'm a regular listener / call in. Do you date outside of your race?
No. If I did, I would probably date a lot more. I only date who I'm attracted to. For the most part, that's black men, men that have some kind of color about them or some kind of swag about them. And when Paul Walker comes to me, then that's when I'll start dating white men, I guess.
Because I'm like, I date outside my race. When
yeah.
I was looking, I noticed that I'm 33. I was
okay.
married, so I don't have a lot of dating experience. But when I first started getting into dating, which was in high school, I was built typically like a white girl. I was a 36C. But I was thin.
Mm-hmm.
I was real skinny. I was considered
mm-hmm.
real skinny. I wasn't built like the typical black girls in school. So none of the black men would step to me. None of the black boys would step to me. The only ones who would step to me, ask me out to dances or anything, were the white boys. And I would always
mm-hmm.
tell them no, because, you know, my family, you know, I was always taught not to date outside my race. My dad would disown me. My mom would be upset. But yet I was never getting asked to anything by the black boys. So I waited, never got asked anything. So I finally decided, you know what? I may not be attracted to them physically, but I'm going to give it a try and see how it goes. So
mm-hmm.
I did, and my first experience with dating a white boy was a pleasant surprise. I mean, we're 16, 17. He bought me flowers, sent them to school, took me on dates, and that carried on through life. Now, my husband was black, great guy. But
mm-hmm.
then when our marriage ended, I was like, okay, I don't want to date. I want to find another black man because I want to set an example for my daughter because I wanted her to marry a black man.
Okay.
I continued to be alone. All the time. Me and my girlfriend sitting around like, we can't find no men. All the men are either married, gay, or in jail, or they just thugs, and they're no good. So then I finally got approached by this white guy, and normally, you know, not my type. And because you know something about that black man's swag, just something, oh my gosh, the way they stand, the way they talk, just the way they are, something about that black man's swag. And he was not swagalicious. At all.
But I, you know, we started talking, and I was like, hey, no, you know, no harm in talking. He asked for my number. I was like, sure, gave him my number. And
Don't do it.
It turned out to be a very pleasant surprise, and I found that as long as I stepped outside of my box when it came to dating, whether I truly was attracted to that person or not, especially if you're not trying to look to get married, I was not going to be dateless. So, I mean, I would suggest you try it. You ain't got to marry him.
For me, I don't want to sit across from anybody that I'm not attracted to. So, for me, like, if I'm not, like, we're not going towards anything, it, for me, I mean, it's just kind of like a friendship. And I have a lot of friends, yeah, I mean, of all races. But as far as my man, like, I have to be attracted to him and want to be around him and have that chemistry. And, like I said, like, I was telling somebody else the other day, I'm like, they always tell black women that we should date outside of our race or whatever, but I don't really have a lot of fine Asian dudes or white dudes or whatever dudes approaching me either. I'm like, I mean, the guys on online, yeah, I would get like 100 white guys to one black guy, but those white guys would be just weird to me. They look like serial killers to me for some reason. I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me. Like, I have to date a guy that I'm physically attracted to, I'm interested in, and I just haven't found that guy. And they love me. White men love me. I do sales, and that's who I sell to, with white men. That's why I do so well with it, because they love me. But I'm not attracted to them.
Can I ask you ladies the question?
Are you looking for in a man?
Mm-hmm.
Not
what
color.
Am I looking for in the man?
Color. What are you looking for exactly in a man?
Well, I'm looking for somebody who's going to be able to, like, get me. And get. I mean, my friends always tell me I'm the blackest chick. So, like, they really have to know certain things about my culture, about the music. We have to be able to talk about, you know, stuff that happened in history. I mean, this is me, politics and stuff like that. So it's just like a lot of white men don't even bother to study our culture, our history, because they never have to. So it's hard to get in a conversation about that with this white man whenever it's not of interest to him. So if I find a white man is interested in my culture and my history and all of that, then that may be something. But I haven't really found anybody that's worried about black people and our issues and our struggles and our lives or whatever. So I just only see it's probably happening with a black man.
Somebody had a question for her.
Yeah. This is Alex. I call in regularly, but I was just listening to the conversation today, and I was just laughing at y'all. But I wanted to ask y'all a question before the break came back up. Hopefully, it's I'm a married man, and my wife is black, and she's an actor as well. And I wanted to ask you guys, like, if you had any recommendations. Because we live in Florida, and, you know, it's not L.A. There's just a different, mm-hmm. a different market in Florida. One of the things that she struggles with is she's done a few things, but it's like there's a lot of commercial acting. So she's done both commercial and some and, like, really smaller, like, film roles. But one of the things she's struggling with is trying to – what kind of work she can do that is flexible enough to, you know, allow her to continue to, you know, pursue the acting, because it primarily falls on me, like our financial responsibilities, you know, because it's just difficult for her, you know, to.
I get where you're going, and if I'm wrong, then stop me. And this is Christine uh-huh. Ferris talking. You know, you're in a market where you're not going to have a lot. You know, there's just not a lot going on out there. So you're going to probably have something else going on in your life, unless you get to a place where you create your own project, create a brand, and getting that out there, you know, and then creating money and income that way. Because the industry has changed so much, and unless you're here, you know, and they might have shows that are out there. You know, they might have shows. But unless you're here, it's hard to really make a living unless you're modeling, you know. And that would be my suggestion, too, is if she's, like, modeling, she's doing her commercials, she's figuring out voiceover work, she's doing.
Oh, he'll be back.
I want to say hello to my guest. I have the writer and director of a movie called The Takeover. And this film short, you can find at, and Shaquina, give me the number, of, give me the web address of your film.
It's www.thetakeoverfilm.com.
And so you don't have to go to the theaters. You can watch it right on your computer, on your phone, or on your iPad or Android. And give it your feedback. But it's a very, very thought-provoking film. Now, I don't know what you guys said during the break, and I got everybody's mic open, so please play nice. But South Carolina, you said something, and for some reason they tend to think that when we're talking, we're being chauvinistic as women.
Who?
Hold on.
What?
Me and Chrissy and Shaquita, because we don't believe, you know, we're trying to say, you guys, I mean, especially as women, talking about, quote-unquote, just the targeting black women, sometimes when your brother. Whose mic is that? That's got to be Divas.
Or South Carolina.
No. Sometimes when the person who looks like your brother dismisses you, and everybody else wants you, makes you feel slighted. And Chrissy and Shaquita, am I getting that right?
Yeah, and that's what I felt on online dating. It was like, for every 100 white guys that wrote me, only one black guy would write me. And I was reaching out to black guys. And the white guys that were writing me, they weren't like, you know, they were actually writing, you know, thoughtful stuff or whatever. But the black guys, when I would reach out to them, I would get no response at all.
Now, Jackie, you haven't
said
that.
That was hurtful.
I mean, because, Jackie, you date black and white, but you're a white woman.
Right. Well, because I still think it's all individual. I mean, there's times when I've gone out single, you know, gone out to a bar or whatnot, and I could sit at the bar and not get approached by anybody. I'm not the girl next door. I mean, I know how to present myself in a, you know, in an attractive manner, but there's times I just won't get approached by either black or white. So I think it's just, you know, I think it's your own. It's individual. I hate the stereotype of, you know, the angry black woman, and that every white woman wants, you know, to date a black man. I just hate those stereotypes. So I try to downplay all stereotypes all the time.
And I just want to add, too, that, you know, one of the things that, you know, that we have to learn, and that I learned, you know, years ago, maybe about 10 years ago, is that we take things personal. We think it's us. We think that it's, and I'm at a place in my life where I don't listen. If you don't like me, I don't take it personal. It has nothing to do with me. That's your issue, because
exactly.
we don't realize that everybody has some type of baggage that makes them think the way that they do. You know, oh, this black woman did this, so this is why I don't do this. This black man did this to me. It's like, I mentor young girls, and one girl decided she wasn't going to date any more men because her father was abusive to her mother. And so she was like, I'm going to date women, and she's 16, and she's now dating a 17-year-old who's beating her behind. You know, so you're thinking that, wow, this is why I'm not going to date this person. I say all that to say, later in life, some of the guys that I just adored when I was younger, you know, high school, college age, who I thought, well, dang, they don't like me. Why don't they like me? And then later they told me, you were always the girl that we knew you had to step up your game. We always felt like you always had someone else. You know, you could always upgrade, that you always had your stuff together. You were working at a young age. You were, you know, I mean, I was making money at 19 as an actor. You know, all those different things, and guys didn't want to approach me because they felt like I was the keeper. I was the one that they wanted to get married to, and they didn't feel like that they could step up to the plate. So we never know why people do the things that they do. That's why you got to keep doing you.
Exactly.
Well, I can tell you from my perspective, I was a guy in high school, right, that had all the girls thrown there. I was a guy that could talk to any girl, okay? I was not afraid to approach any woman and start a conversation with her. However, that type of guy is not the type of guy that a woman wants.
Not until they get much older.
Now, South Carolina, I'm going to say this. You're like me. You've always been the friend, but never the girlfriend.
I've always been the friend.
I mean, I've always been the friend, and I've always been, you know, I'm the one that knows everything about everybody.
Exactly.
But I never get the actual relationship.
Until I got older, though, and then it was too late because I didn't like what I seen, and because I knew everything about you, I don't want to deal with you.
Right. That's how people saw me, though. They always think that I was dating and all that, and that wasn't necessarily true. They're like, oh, I know you got a man. I know you have. And I'm like, well, actually, at this point, ain't nobody trying to approach me because everybody think I got a man.
That's so funny, Chris, because I get the same thing, especially in high school with me actually liking guys who were nerds, and people thought that I thought I was older than I was. They thought I was dating an upperclassman or something, and it was just like, that's not the case. Like, but I carried myself in such a way where they automatically assumed instead of even trying to approach me or step to me or whatever. And it was just like, no, I'm alone.
But it's definitely individual. When you, I know one thing that would always turn me off is when a black man would approach me, but he only dates white women, only. And if he would approach me, that would turn me off because I would feel like the only reason you want to date me is just because I'm white. You don't know anything about me. You don't know what's inside. You know, the only reason you want to date me is because I'm white. So that, to me, would always feel very superficial. I wouldn't want to be bothered with anybody like that.
And I would have guys that would say, I knew did not date black women, but I would be exception to the rule. You know, so that to me is not flattering. Like, my mother is chocolate. I mean, beautiful. And it's interesting because when we're out, guys my age want to holler at my mom. They'll look at me and they'll say, oh,
yeah,
God, you're... But I'm trying to holler at your mom, you know, and she's... and I couldn't even be mad. I was like, hey, I'm not mad. But, you know, it's interesting because she grew up not thinking she was beautiful because she was chocolate.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She's stunning.
How old are these ladies?
You have to ask them. I don't know.
I'll tell you how old I am because it's all over the internet. I'm 33.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys are young still.
I'm older than she is. I'm older than you.
Y'all still young.
Well, not by much.
Still have similar.
Yeah, y'all still young.
They're the same age my kids are.
That's what I'm saying. But you got to understand, we have created a society, just like Dr. Rossi said earlier, about men.
But what he just said about him having kids, I think that's why a lot of men are watching the movie, because I know a lot of older men are looking at their daughters and, like, you know, they want their daughters to get married and be happy and everything, and they see that Christy's character, Tisha, that's what their daughters are going through. So I think that's where it's like the writing is saying that it's opening their eyes, because I don't think they know what it's like out here for black women.
Yeah, that's what I said to Dr. Rossi.
Yeah.
When I was talking to him, I said that, you know, a little girl is going to get that idea of what a good man is by the father being in the household. And Tracy had said earlier about the, you know, 47% versus 23%. I can't remember the numbers there, Tracy, but because of African-American males' father figure not being in the household, maybe that is part of the problem.
Well, I think on both sides, because, you know, if a man, it's, as I said, as women begin to evolve, and especially if you are going back to school and getting yourself together, you want to be with someone, not necessarily occupational to where they are at your level, but you want them to be cerebral at somewhere in the circumference.
Right.
And if they're not there, it makes it more and more difficult because you become an exclusive or minority within a minority.
But Tracy,
hold on, Stanley. And when you become a minority in a minority, when you go out and start dating again for whatever reason, the pool that you've pulled from is limited, and you have all these different, you know, dynamics where I only date skinny women. This is what attracts me. I'm only attracted to blue eyes. I only like long hair. I only like the shape. I only want this. I only want that. And as African American women, we are becoming more and more. Now, maybe as we grow our pool and we start dating outside of our race, but as I said, when you have a man who looks like your brother and your father, and he says you're not good enough for him, it's like, man,
wow.
Something's wrong here. And as she said, the film turns into where it's an assumption, and you've got to take people at face level, but come on.
And so your point that you just said there about the father not wanting, you're the man that represents your father not wanting you, that's even worse. It's like when your real father is not there, not wanting
right.
you.
Right, right.
Which is the case for a lot of black women anyway. So they already have abandonment issues there. So when you're out here, I mean, that compounds it when you've got black men telling you you're not good enough because you're not light-skinned enough or your hair is not long enough or your butt's not big enough or whatever. Something's wrong with you. And so, like, with the scene with Chrissy sitting on the couch where she's kind of, like, sad after her best friend goes out with the guy she likes, I mean, that's what that breaks down to, where you feel like you're happy for your friend for going out with whatever, but it's like, damn, what about me, you know?
Yeah.
What is going
to
happen
for
me?
And
like,
it comes back to what's wrong with me? So now
right.
I feel rejection not only from my absentee father.
Yes.
But now the brothers who should be coveting me and saying, you know, because when we were growing up, if you go by size of town, and even before, the guys would fight the other guys coming on our side of town, so they would leave us alone because they didn't want the girls from our neighborhood. Y'all can't mess with them. These are girls. See,
right.
they get rid of us now. We have no value in our own community.
But,
yeah.
But
I also think go ahead, and then I want to make a comment. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Stanley.
Tracy, I'm listening to what you're saying. The thing I disagree is I feel like a lot of women, you don't even look at yourself and bring the best of yourself.
Stanley, you're missing the
right.
point. Stanley, you're missing
the point.
Point.
Tracy,
No. Stanley, we have the best of ourselves.
No,
see,
you don't.
No, listen, honey. If you don't. If you don't. Listen, if you don't have affirmation, you don't have anything but what's in your own mind. And people need affirmation whether you like it or not, and you need it from somewhere outside of yourself.
That is correct.
Can I chime in on that, Tracy?
Sure, Alex, go ahead.
Because you've known me for a very long time.
Just a little while.
And so, and you know I had a significant amount of time with a non-black woman, Puerto Rican.
Yeah,
and I can tell you that there's a big difference between black women and other women, and that was the only non-black woman that you know of. I mean, that's the only non-black woman I've ever been with. But I can tell you that one of the things, a lot of times, at least from what I gather, and what is kind of unattractive in many black women is that it just comes off as a lack of self love, and it shows off in a lot of nasty ways, and so a lot of times that's what a man is attracted to, is that it's that self esteem, that confidence. And it's like there's just certain things that come along with it that you don't want to have to deal with. And so I can tell you that from experience. Now, you know, I'm married to a black woman, and we've been married for 5 years now. But I can tell you that it is something. It's one of those things that it can be very difficult to deal with, you know, just dealing with colorism. Issues
and insecurity,
oh my God, just a mountain of insecurities. But then, at the same time, have the gall to have like a mountain of requirements for men, where you gotta, you know, you gotta be this tall, you gotta be this color, you gotta make this much money. It's like, really, you know what I'm saying?
It piggybacks onto what you're saying and what you guys were just talking about. Which is why we have to, and why I dedicate my life and my time. Like, I didn't become an actor to, you know, to be this famous person and all the different shows and
Passions and Scrubs and all these different shows that I've been on. I do it because I'm there to be able to bless people. And what I actually volunteer at a women's prison. I go in to help build the self-esteem, to help them break the stereotypes of what they believe about themselves, knowing that once they get out, if they get the opportunity to get out, that they can change that outcome by their energy and their attitude. And I think part of it is that we, it's like, and I think, Shaquita, I think you did this once, Natasha told me, where, you know, one day you might have had, like, an energy, and you're like, oh, people don't do this, okay, the guys aren't approaching me, and then all of a sudden you change your energy, and then all of a sudden all of these guys are coming out of nowhere. It's kind of like the same thing with opportunities. If you believe that you could make it and make it happen in your business, it's going to be successful. If you don't, you're not going to make it. And just like the quote in the Bible and other people have said, what a man thinketh, so he is. So if you believe that you're not beautiful, you're not going to be beautiful. I don't care if you look like Halle Berry. If you think you're not beautiful, you're not going to be beautiful, and people are not going to want to approach you.
And just as you
and look at her and look at her love life,
and she's
got
and her insecurities about
right.
as
yeah.
beautiful as she is.
Exactly.
And I think that stemmed from her dad and his whole situation. And I'm like, I think for girls, that's the first man you love. And if he's not there, how do
that's
you know
what
how to
saying.
Love a man?
But so look at
the cycle that's going
now,
on.
Hold on, guys. Now, look at this. You got 72, hold on, South Carolina. You got 72% of African-American children being raised in single-family homes, and the majority
yes.
of them are with their mothers. So let's really
yes.
break this down. How is that going to affect the future of relationships?
But
well, men just need to step
time,
up. I mean, it's ridiculous.
You have to take responsibility for where
hold
you
on,
are.
South.
If you, when you get to a place that you are an adult, you can no longer blame the past,
exactly.
your parents.
Exactly.
You got to get to a place
exactly.
where you're like, I'm taking responsibility for who I am and the decisions I have made and the choices I have made, and now let's move forward. I can't blame my ex, because he did this, and that's why I'm here. I can't blame them. It's a choice that I made to go down this road, or I'm giving you an example.
That's the thing. It's not about blaming them. It's about being raised and being your whole psyche is developed from the time from when you were a kid growing up. Once you start thinking a certain way, it's like racist
yes,
people are racist. Okay. Once you start thinking a certain way, that it's hard to shake that. It's hard to get that
right.
off of you.
Well, and that's why I take the time to go out and speak to these people and young kids to help change their mindset, to let them know that it doesn't matter what people say about you, it doesn't matter what people did. You can change the outcome of your life, and that's where we have to get to.
Yeah,
it may be hard, but it's not impossible. You can.
Right.
I mean, if going off of what South Carolina said, how he was always rejected because how he looked. I mean, imagine me. I was about 100 pounds at age 17, 36, and I was this token white girl in school. None of the black men, none of the black boys approached me. Even when I got into my 20s, it was always white men. But do I harbor that? Do I hold that against them? No. I just say I was just not something that they were attracted to and kept it moving. It's something
hold on.
We have to get past
hold on, guys.
Okay.
South Carolina, go ahead.
Oh.
You know, having the unique privilege of raising four daughters, okay? You know, it is very, very important. It is very, very important that a man who has daughters tell them, number one, that they're beautiful,
mm-hmm.
even when they think they're not, even when they're telling you, oh, no, I'm the ugly. No, you tell them they're beautiful regardless. Number two, you tell them that you love them, okay?
The South Carolina,
and
so let me say this.
Them.
And let me throw this in, and then, Larry, I'm going to bring you in. We also have to understand that we have to, you know, those of you who have single sisters who have daughters, you know, you need to talk to your nieces and let
mm-hmm.
them know that they're beautiful, because you need the affirmation of a male before some little snotty-nosed boy comes in and tries to affirm you.
Right.
Because, you know, the first crush that you have on a young boy, if you don't have the father figure at home, it will be how you react to all men in the future.
And can we just add
Tracy,
that to
the young
Tracy, men?
I don't mean to interrupt you. I don't mean to interrupt you or anything.
No.
But, Larry can say this. Larry can attest to this. And you have to make sure you step to that young man away from that girl and jack him up and let him know what the deal is.
Oh,
okay, because he needs to listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. You got to.
That is so true.
That is so true.
I agree with South Carolina there. I mean, I had this, my wife still gets angry with me, my older daughter, but there was this boy that she liked that I didn't really particularly care for, and the one time I let him know about it and then slammed the door in his face and told my daughter, hey, so-and-so's here to see you. Now, I got in trouble for that, but she don't like that boy no more, and he was a bad kid. You know, so I feel him there. But what I wanted to go back to is we're attacking this as just a black white thing,
but it's
not because social. This went back. I mean, I've heard from friends of mine when the immigrants come here. You know, if you was Greek or Polish or Italian, you married within you know that ethnic
right.
background, and if you didn't, there was problems there from your parents.
Oh,
so I think we're just going a little bit. I mean, we're behind on this when we're talking about the black-white issue, and it's different because of the issues, but it's not different because they went through that back in the day. If you were Italian, sorry.
I just want to say I want to add, too, that, you know, I don't want to forget about our young men because when you talked about, you know, these young get to the young girl before the guy gets to them, I want to add that, I mean, I've seen young boys get pimped out by men because they didn't have fathers in their lives, so they found a father figure, and now all of a sudden, now they're getting pimped. I got one right now that has AIDS, and he's only 18, but got pimped by a dude because his father was not there, and his father was in the house, but just treated him like, you know, you're a sissy and this, and, you know, just never got the love that he wanted, met a guy, you befriended him, made it seem like he was a father figure, and then pimped him out.
And we need to address this.
Young boys too.
Right.
Because we need to address it because it affects our relationship. And we talk about black versus white, but no matter what color you are, it's going to affect your relationship no matter what. Because after a while, you set down the color of the skin, and you still have a person that you got to cohabitate with.
There has to be a father somewhere for a young man or a young woman, for identity, and to confirm them about their future and to speak into them positively. If you have either one of those things out of whack, you have a 90% chance of having a dysfunctional child. And that is just something that is almost, you know, it's one of those cause and effects that just, boom, it's going to happen.
But you have many roles that a father can, or a father figure. You have roles in like a coach, a high school coach, a teacher, a good male friend of the mothers, because it is a lot of single mothers. I am a single mother. So, you know, my sons have plenty of very positive male role models in their life.
That's a huge thing for them, though,
I'm saying. But I'm saying early.
That's good.
I'm talking about early, because see,
they had their father in their life early.
But see, what I'm saying is when father leaves, the affirmation of puberty, when I say early, because when puberty sets in and you start identifying yourself, your first relationships with the opposite sex will shape your future and how you feel about you. So when you look at women who have major insecurities, which causes them to not know how to talk.
Sure.
Can I ask you that, Tracy?
Sure.
This is Shaquita. Okay, so let me tell you where my self-confidence came from. And Chrissy, the situation talked about my energy. So that was the day that Liza Alonzo gave me his phone number. So, For me, my dad wasn't there. I was thankful. I'm blessed to have uncles that were around me and grandparents and all that. So it really was a village that took to raise me.
Sure.
And they were all happy that I was there. They were welcoming to me. But still, like, I didn't really get the confidence. Like, my family was talking about my eyes being big or my lips being big or my, you know, stuff, just black stuff, you know, because we have different features. They would kind of come at me about it before people, I guess, outside would come at me about it so I can kind of get used to it. But I think I was in the second grade. I was in school, and there was this guy named Larry, this black guy. And I still think about this. Like, he told me, like, oh, you got some big old eyes, don't you? And then I thought it was going to be an insult, and he was like, them big, pretty eyes. And from that point on, I was just like, I have pretty eyes? And that was the end of it. I mean, that was the beginning of my vanity, I guess, because I think I'm so fly. Ever since that, it was just like it took for somebody, a guy, a little boy, to tell me that my eyes were pretty was why I felt pretty. And that's the thing, a lot of times when you're kids, the kids that come at them not necessarily give them that positive, but they'll tell them they're ugly, And the kids believe it because she doesn't go home. Like, I didn't go home to a dad that was telling me I was beautiful. So for that little boy to tell me that when I was in the second grade, I carried that on from now. So
and
where I'm
also,
just like, I feel like I'm fine.
It's also what how like for in my example, I as a single mother, how I had to carry myself around being a mother of sons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to show that example. Okay, yeah, your father is not here. However, if I dated somebody, then they saw my date come into the house. They were introduced. They saw him open my car door. They never saw a man disrespect me or talk bad to me.
Right.
So, you know, that was, and they didn't see, you know, a whole bunch of uncles and, you know, this is Uncle so-and-so this week. And, you know, they never saw that.
Right.
So it's always, you know, the
and they
single,
just see them go home.
Right. The single mother has to step up too. Like, yeah, okay, your children's father might not be there, but you have to step your game up and show an example of how a man treats a woman from the woman's point of view. This is what you do. This is what you accept, what you don't accept. So, you know, but we can't always just go back and blame our childhood or, you know, if the father's not there, the mother's not there or whatnot. I mean, it comes a point in the time where you know better, so you have to do better. You can't not continue to keep on blaming the past.
So can we come to the consensus that actually it's really not about black versus white, it's just women versus men?
I said that earlier.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I married a great woman. She is a fantastic woman, but and I'm actually blessed to be married because I hear all these stories
because
about. I wouldn't want to be dating right now.
Right.
So I'm blessed in that. But I mean, the problems that you have dating, they don't go away when you get married. It's just as hard or difficult to maintain
answer.
That marriage.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's
Thank
just as hard
that.
And it's just as hard and difficult to maintain that marriage once you found that. So it's hard. Maybe that's why they're making it so hard for you, because when you get there, you'd be like, oh, marriage, this is easy. I remember when
no,
I was dating.
No,
it's not.
No.
Dating is easy.
I just want to say, I have to run because I have another interview that I have to do. First of all, it was a joy to meet each and every one of you. You guys are amazing people. I learned something today, and thank you for listening to my thoughts. Thank you for watching the film.
Loved your
Christy
film.
Ferris. Yeah, thank you. It's so funny. This why I love stuff like this is because we get the opportunity to meet people that we never would have a conversation with, and I personally feel like I could be friends with each and every person that's on this phone call, so thank you for that. Again, I just want to let everybody know the show that I have a one-woman show that's on tour. It's called In Search of O. It's about waiting until marriage at 27 to have sex and the fantasy versus the reality of that experience. So we're turning that into a web series, so just make sure that you look out for that and obviously look for it when we're in your city. And
make sure you get my information. You shoot that information over to me so I can put it on my Facebook page and get
it
out there, okay? Because I got some real good friends out there in Los Angeles.
Okay, cool.
Listen,
I will make sure. Yes.
Listen,
do
thank
that.
You.
Do
so,
that. And listen, we appreciate you and we thank you so much. What'd you say, South Carolina?
Listen, we're trying to get Tracy down here to South Carolina, okay? You come down here to South Carolina, go to a NASCAR race and meet some of these NASCAR brothers, you will fall in love.
I've been told y'all.
No,
I am not a NASCAR.
I would love to see that one, buddy.
We connect. I need to connect.
Listen, I am not a NASCAR girl.
I don't understand. Why is that, Tracy?
Don't do NASCAR.
You don't do NASCAR?
She's limited herself.
You're limiting yourself, Tracy.
Hey,
it's not just a black and white thing. You're limiting yourself, Tracy.
It is a black and white thing.
Get off the bus. Get off the bus, Tracy.
I'm not going to NASCAR.
I just want to say that, you know, how I used to, you know, be out on the field, like, cheering on the football, I will be out there cheering for all them NASCAR. Hey! Hello!
You and me,
though.
With a white beater on.
I will be in North Carolina doing a show that Ted Lange, the guy from Love Boat, the one that played Isaac from Love Boat, I'll be doing a show at North Carolina at the North Carolina Black Theater Festival. So maybe I'll take a trip. That's going to be in August. So So maybe I'll take a trip up to South Carolina and come check y'all out while I'm on the side. I don't know if you want to go to South Carolina, Christy. I'm from North Carolina. I don't know if you want to go to South Carolina.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Hold on.
What are
y'all
trying to say? You
want to
speak?
What
are you trying to say?
South Carolina's country.
So they are insulting us. All my peoples is from down there, and they're all Geechies.
I love you guys. Thank you for coming down and hanging out with us. It's called The Takeover. We want to thank Shakita for coming on. Christy, we appreciate you. We're here for you.
Thank
you. Guys, it was a great short. And
thank you
are
so
you
much.
Are you going to submit it into Sundance?
No, not this. I don't think this is a Sundance type of film. Their stuff is usually more depressing. And this is kind of more upbeat. And it's already on the internet, so they probably wouldn't accept it anyway.
Okay.
I just wanted to put it on the internet so I can kind of get more people, everybody around the world can see it. So,
well, I don't know how it made it to my inbox, but I'm glad that I found it. And thank you guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, your mic is on, Rick. 518, your mic is on.
He got you on hold.
He got me on hold. Hey, listen, I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. We'll see you on the other side.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce.
South Carolina.
You need to
do a
psychiatrist.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait. I've been trying to say this since you have. Seriously, I love you, but I think you have some black woman issues, for real. All because of what happened to you in high school. I mean, you keep saying, I was this nerdy kid and they rejected me. Okay, I was this skinny girl with no butt, and I kept getting, black men rejected me all the time. But you don't see me saying, you know, calling me black men. Here's the problem, though. It's not a matter of rejecting, you know, or being upset about that. That was just talking from my own personal experience. But what I'm seeing today is pretty much similar to that. I know a lot of, you know, several young men that fit into that quote-unquote geeky category, and they're really nice kids, really smart, really level-headed, but the girls just don't want to have nothing to do with it.
But
and
you know,
that's not just
black women. Women in general.
That's women in general. But you know, the crazy thing about it, though, Diva, is I've noticed that a lot of the guys that I knew, because I've never dated anyone from my hometown. I've never dated anyone from my hometown.
I mean, I completely get what you're saying, because there is a young man from my church. He's too young for me. He's 24. And nice young brother, just graduated from the Ohio State University with honors. You know, he's just a little on the short side. He's probably about 5'7", 5'6", if that, maybe just 5'5". Carol Moskin, he wears glasses. And he has a goofy personality, but he's very, very smart, very articulate. There is a young lady at church who he would be perfect for that she keeps, we were in this waiting and dating class for singles. She kept saying what type of man she wanted. And all I kept thinking was, the man you want is right in front of you, but because he's not 6'5", and, you know, cut, you reject. Like, she straight out rejected him. And I was like, wow, really? I was like, man, if I was 24, I'd go after him with no problem.
That happens all the time.
I would have told that one that's 6'4" and cut, you're going to get some roid rage from that fool.
I can tell you, when I finish, I think I was 22. I was 22, 23, and I was 23 years old with a master's degree in engineering, in electrical engineering. And you couldn't imagine how difficult it was to find a black woman that wanted just an educated man. It was insane, you know, just at least not in my age group, and the ones that were, you know, I could vibe with, they were always older. They were always like pretty much in their 30s, but then, and they'll be like, oh, you're too young, you know. And it was, it's just one of those things that, you know, educated black men have a very difficult time, because I know at least then this is like, you know, 10 years ago, at least then the only women that were attracted to actual intelligence was white women, and that's not what I wanted, you know. So it was very difficult. Very
exactly.
Well, I also think that we need, like Tracy says, we need to get off the bus, meaning if you have an intellectual mind, you want to stimulate and conversation, don't be in the club looking for Shaquisha and Monisha because they got a big old booty.
You need the big booty.
Okay, but nine times out of ten,
I'm just joking.
That booty ain't going to match what's upstairs in her head. You know what I'm saying? I come across that a lot with black men. They say, and I want this type of woman, I want this type of woman, but yet every time I turn around, they're looking for a curvy female. I mean, I only got curves now because I had a baby. I was not always curvy, so it was always difficult for me to see black men being attracted to me. And only, like, my husband was not a typical, my ex-husband was not a typical black man. He was more like a Carlton at the time.
More like a what?
More like Carlton Banks.
Okay.
And he was different from what was in the hood. I got tired of being rejected. You know, I was in inner city Youngstown, so all those young boys, all those young men.
What part of Youngstown are you from?
The South Side.
South Side.
All they wanted was the curvy, big booty, Monisha, Shaquisha, Yolandas, and all that. Well, I didn't have that. And at that time, I was not really feeling the white boys. And they were the only ones hitting on me. I would date them, but I'm like, I'm not going to marry them. I'm not going to have no babies with them.
Hold on. You say you how old?
I'm 33 now.
Wow. See,
well, okay. You want to tell what my nickname was in high school?
Because I'm 32, and I graduated a year early out of high school.
You what?
So I'm 32. And I graduated a year early out of high school in 1998. I'm just wondering if I've seen you around, but you was just one of those women that dogged me out back then.
No, it wasn't me, because I didn't get asked out by black men at all in high school. So
but I
only got asked out by the white guys. But once the white guy, when I started dating a white boy, all the black guys got mad. They thought I was betraying them or something.
But here you got a black guy
that works at a radio station, a top 40 radio station, and occasionally plays Top Gun country music on the news quiz team, won the state title, and everybody sees him on TV. When he talks, he don't sound like no black kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only thing that I had going for me, I was built like crazy. I could lift more than he can do.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I believe that's Jeff's nephew. That's Paul Green.
Yes, that's PG from Green Dynasty. Yes, it is.
And so we
out there in the LA area doing this thing.
Yeah,
he's out there with my new baby.
Okay.
He better bring that baby back to me too. I want that baby back.
You gonna leave the baby here?
Him and his wife had a baby, but that's my baby.
Is that the one that's on your
face? I'm gonna let the baby stay in LA for a little while, but the baby gotta come back.
Right, they're gonna send it to you when she's about
12. Uncle Jeffrey gotta have the baby back. Snip that baby down. I love that. I love babies. I love my.
You're way too old.
Oh, yeah, I am.
No, you ain't.
I'm too old. But my sister Monica had her baby, and Jen and I decided we were gonna watch her one weekend. It lasted exactly 24 hours.
Mm. You hear that out there, Sarah?
Jen and I are too old.
I'm telling y'all, I know I'm too old.
Oh, no, you need to go have some kids, Tracy.
Oh, my goodness, No.
Why are you so hard on him?
He said no.
What are you trying to say?
South Carolina.
Right, I'm like, what's South Carolina? Tracy, you need to bring that psychiatrist back for South Carolina. He got issues.
South Carolina, what are you saying?
Tracy, listen, what? I got grandkids, and all I want to do is I can stand them for a certain amount of time, and then they got to get away from me. I don't know what happened to me after I hit 45.
Oh, not me. I want to keep mine. I have to track down the parents. Like, okay, you know,
that's a grandmama thing. That's a grandmama thing.
I'm a DG.
I can wait to be a grandfather. That 10 years. At least 10 years. I can wait for that.
My daughter is 19 now, and 10 more years.
Anyway.
Hey guys,
I'm gonna be a grandfather.
I've got 7 grandkids. Okay.
South Carolina. Listen,
7.
Let me explain. You don't have to worry about me. Absolutely not. No, no, no. That would be bad. If you want to see an angry black woman, let me tell you that I'm having a baby.
Oh.
You will see an angry black woman for real.
Well, you
absolutely
need to expand your base. Maybe there'll be my complexion then.
Probably.
You need to expand your base.
Right. You would have such a pretty baby.
Let me prophesy. I've seen NASCAR in your
face. Yeah, and he'd be a NASCAR.
That's Mac.
Highline games.
Yes. If you see NASCAR, that means I own a car.
Highline games.
And South Carolina, don't take Tracy's thing on what she said about South Carolina being country. She says East Liverpool's country, and East Liverpool's not country. But that's just the Youngstown. She can't get out of Youngstown.
Hold on, Larry. Y'all, listen. You guys call your high school football team professional. Oh, that's a problem.
Professional.
What I'm saying. Y'all act like that football down there.
I hate
it's like professional
it.
Football.
Between Steubenville and East Liverpool, they are.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't play games down there.
That your high school football is professional football.
They can go
the NFL.
They can go straight.
When you're a town like East Liverpool, it's been beat up like that all the time. It's good to rally around something like football or basketball or your sports team. Last year it was volleyball. Our volleyball team was real good.
See what I mean? The highlight of you is a high school basketball and volleyball team. That's what I'm trying to tell you. No,
that ain't country.
What is it?
Not getting caught swimming in the river is.
Yeah. Then you get the whipping.
Oh, no. In a winter with no ball.
I love the river, man.
What'd you say, Diva?
I said I was piggybacking off of Jeff getting caught. It's not swimming in the river in the winter with no clothes on.
Oh no no no
no!
That was in your day.
No.
No, I don't do
no.
water.
I
no.
said what river?
I'm a tell
you. I'm a black woman. I don't do water.
Oh, that's bad.
Oh, that's not. That ain't so.
I did
right,
just
because
that.
You're black does not mean black women do not swim.
No.
Honey,
white women have no problem getting their hair wet. You try
limited.
To pour water on a black woman's hair, you're having a problem.
You got a problem.
Yeah, that's true.
No, let me tell
you
this.
Where now? You put water on an angry black woman's head, and she ain't ready to have water on it, and see if you don't get angry.
Then I had a whole lot of days of delusion at Southside Pool in Youngstown, Ohio. That was plenty of black women.
That was too long ago. See, they didn't have these.
Hold on,
Diva. The women during that era,
one,
they knew how to do their own hair when they got home.
Okay.
Right.
They were of a different stock.
I'm a pioneer.
Today, you are. Today's stock, they don't know how to do their hair, and so they don't get their weave uncoiffed in water.
Didn't you go to
uncoiffed?
It's not even just about that. It's the cost of hair care for black women is astronomical. There is no I want to go and pay $85 or more to get my hair done, and then for have you to put water on. No, I'm not having
that.
That's
why you
got
to
go natural.
That's why you
got
to go natural.
No, thank you.
You're right, Alex. That's why you keep it natural. You're right.
No, thank you. No,
Alex,
thank you.
Are we detecting that attitude coming out right now?
I think so.
Are we detecting that coming out?
You told you.
Is this suggesting to go to a pool or to the water class?
That's
or
why
something?
We had Jackie here.
Do you swim, Jackie?
Yes.
See, it likes water.
She's
born in Hawaii and grew up on the West Coast. Duh. If I was black and born in Hawaii and grew up on the West Coast, you're going to love water.
Water.
It does. No, race does not have anything to do with it.
It does when it comes to hair.
It does when you
That's
live in
why,
downtown Ohio.
But wait a minute.
Ohio,
every pool that we grew up in, we had to wear one of those stupid bathing caps.
Yeah.
Every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And for one thing, when you have blonde hair and you go swimming in a
turns
pool,
green.
It will turn green. So you have to wear a bathing cap.
But
you or
have
you
red
will,
hair, so it don't matter.
I have red hair from Miss Clairol. Okay.
I have red hair, so it don't
Me
matter.
Me and Miss Clairol have our own relationship. Right. But well, no, growing up, I was a blonde, and we had to wear caps. Or
hey, tomorrow, we want to thank Larry and Jackie for coming in. I want to thank everybody who's hung out with us today. I know I didn't get to everyone, but I love you. Rick, if you have any closing comments, make them fast.
Well, listen, people, just to share with you, today was about relationships. One of the things we want to make sure we teach our youth, our young people, because we are the guardians of their lives. What we want to share with them is to be careful with what they share and who they share it with. Because you don't want 10, 20, 30 years from now going by and someone telling them, I remember you when. We have children because of a past experience, because I shared my life with you. And so what we have to now teach, because relationships are so sensitive and they're so important, be careful with who you share your life with.
All right. Thank
you. You don't want to share.
I don't have that much time, Rick. No, I'm not filming that.
All right. Oh.
Closing
all right,
90
right.
minutes. It's like funeral closing comments.
All right.
Larry.
Thanks for having me again.
Good having you guys
it
back.
Always
I'm glad you guys came
back.
In. Listen, tomorrow we're going to be talking about saving money, how to go to college debt-free. We're also going to be talking about how, you know, just saving money. Bonnie's going to come on and hang out with us. You've heard from her. I get to meet her for the first time, so I'm excited about that. You know, Bonnie makes her own paper towels.
I was just getting ready to say, is that Bonnie that makes her own paper towels?
That's my paper towel Bonnie. And so we're going to talk about cost savings and how to make your own soap detergent. And I have to say, it did work. It's a wonderful laundry detergent off of $1.95, a bar of NAFTA soap, Phelps NAFTA.
NAPA?
NAFTA. Phelps NAFTA. And
NAFTA.
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 Yep. It's a cleanser.
Yes. No, NAPTA. Child of me. Funny summer Saturdays with Phil's NAFTA in the washboard with our socks. I know all about it.
You know about that.
Please. My grandmother, that's what we did every Saturday.
What do you mean? You got sticks in them. You didn't really show you how.
Right. What I know about that. Why would you say that I don't know anything about that, Tracy? Is that an inference
because
to my race?
Yes, because you're a black girl.
I am white.
Don't let her fool you, though.
I'm white.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about this cost savings measures because, as you know, I don't know if you realize that things are going to get worse before they get better economically, and we need to be prepared, and you're going to have to cut corners, and you need to know how to have some cost-cutting measures that, you know, I found out I can clean my grout. Pinterest is awesome. I can clean my grout with baking soda, vinegar, and ammonia, and it turns my grout that used to be white back to white again. Absolutely wonderful.
And not die in the process.
Okay. Just don't buy it in bulk.
Don't buy it in bulk,
ammonia and everything.
No.
There's a formula so it doesn't kill you, right?
Yeah, there's a formula.
Okay.
There's a formula. There's not a, you're not going to just add it together as a chemical reaction and watch it blow up.
Because that's what we used to do. We used to make Clorox bombs as well.
No. That's why you can't get on the airport. You can take a knife, but you can't take shampoo.
I used to work at the airport, but it was,
that was
well after my bomb making days.
Okay.
Hey guys, we love you. We're at the end of the day. God bless you. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you back here on tomorrow. Jeff, you took the music away, so I gotta go start again.
Right,
we'll see you guys some.
So now that I got the link,
you want
I'll
these
go watch it.
Oh, right.
No, leave them.
All right, Diva. I'm gonna get you down here and get you to a NASCAR race too.